welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Well, Dr. Gary Alter, I just see, has strolled into the green room. Phone number 866-901-ADAM. Who's Dr. Gary Alter? Well, he's a plastic surgeon. He's a board-certified urologist. He does gender reassignment surgery.
Teresa calls him her destiny.
Well, he's a plastic surgeon and urologist, one of only five in the world, he told us last time.
Yes, he is a genius. There's no doubt about it.
He's not going to be working with your pipes, though, your female parts. He decided that you did need to work on the nose, yes?
Thanks for bringing that up, Dave. I had almost blocked it out with enough therapy and Lexapro, but now it's back. Top of mind.
Yeah. Ever since...
Don't cry! Hold it back!
Ever since Teresa talked to Alter last week, she's been on basically the same cocktail that Anna Nicole's son was on.
Adam, what I do is I say, tell me exactly what will kill me, and I back off a little.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Right.
Well, what happened is she spoke to as most women, and this is why we're having Alter in, because we're not only going to be talking about his specialty, which is gender reassignment, but there's a lot of stuff going on with vaginal rejuvenation and things like that. But also, he is a plastic surgeon, so if you have questions about nose jobs, boob jobs, anything with the word job on the end of it, you can ask him. And I'm trying to think if there's a profession where if you went into a party, if more people would have more questions for you than plastic surgeon. You know what I mean? Even if you're a celebrity, they don't have questions for you. They'd like to talk to you. They might want to make comments. You get a lot of backhanded stuff like, my husband's a huge fan. I don't care for your show so much. I get tons of that. But people don't say to me, geez, how did the schedule work over there? Did you and Kimmel share an office, or did you guys go, or did you and Dr. Drew hang out much? It was just a lot of, hey, man, I seen you. But if you're a plastic surgeon, there are questions. Yeah, I am always interested, and I guess it's just one of these things. Maybe it's my hypervigilance. I'm surprised how few questions there are in life. You know, I talk to people. I meet people. I have questions. If some guy tells me he's a commercial airline pilot, oh, do I have questions for him? Even a dentist, whatever it is, making saddles. I have questions. I'm always surprised when you run into people who meet you. People have comments, but they don't oftentimes have questions. I always found that, you know, I've been a quasi-celebrity for a number of years. Plenty of people willing to come up and talk to you, and plenty of people willing to come up and say, I like your show, or I didn't get your show, or my brother-in-law watched your show. A lot of, I watch this, comment, liked, backhanded compliment, occasional, like, because you get to hang out with the juggies. But a very rare, like, how does this work? You know, there's a whole side of it where I would be saying, do you guys do all those shows in 1 week, or do you do it in real time? Do like one a week, or how far in advance do you tape those things, or whether it be radio, television, whatever it is? I would have an S-load of questions for myself involving things that didn't, you know, necessarily have to do with beer, juggies, Dr. Drew, Jimmy Kimmel. I'd have some technical things. I find people have almost no questions.
Well, I noticed in New York when you performed and introduced Gnarls Barkley recently that someone from the audience had a question. They shouted out, could you show us your ass?
You know what? You're right. And when a man is wrong, he's wrong, and I'm willing to say it right now on national radio.
It was always interesting. Yeah, I mean, I've been around you or Kimmel when people come up to you. It seems like maybe it has to do with the comedian thing or something like that, that people come up to you and they want to impress you that they're funny. They don't ask you guys questions as much as they perform at you to show them to show you that they could be where you are.
So. Yes, there's that painful reality. Anyway, Dr. Alter is here. Well, I find the reason that most people are stupid is because they don't ask questions. If you think about it, you talk to lots of people. Look, if you're 30 years old, 40 years old, and you don't know anything. Well, the reason why you don't know anything is because you don't ask questions. This is how questions work. You ask, whether you're asking the pilot who's at the dinner party with you about the difference between, you know, knots and miles per hour, or why do they do this or why do they do that, or asking questions in your own head and going and searching out the answers. People aren't so curious anymore, and that always makes for a stupid person. And as I've explained to my wife many times when she's talked about getting our twins into preschool and it's important to get them in and sign them up for, I'm not buying into all that crap, that waiting list you have to get into so you can start indoctrinating these three-year-olds into some educational system where they're going to get left behind if they don't get involved with this, you know, public or private school or an elite, whatever. I just say to her all the time, either the kid's going to be curious or the kid's not going to be curious. I'm very curious. Wife, not so curious.
Maybe she has a different skill set. She's good at making conversations. She's an empath. It's different.
Point is, she's happier than I am. Don't worry about that. Don't feel sorry for her. But my point is there are people that are curious and those who aren't. My family doesn't have a lot of curious folks in it. I know a lot of people that aren't curious. It's not something they teach at school. A lot of people think you're going to unlock some young mind. You're going to inspire some young mind because you're going to have a teacher that is inspirational. BS. Kids either are interested, kids not interested. Kid who's interested, fine. Don't worry about him. Go to the worst school in the crappiest city in the world. He will, or she will, probably he, will find the information. That kid will be reading the ingredients on cereal boxes if they have any downtime at all and they're standing around in the kitchen. They can't stop or not absorb information. And then there are those who not only... And this is a large segment of our society now, who not only tune everything out, but they're almost a little bit angry when you attempt to tune them in. Every once in a while, you'll say, yeah, you know that song, or you know that guy, or you've heard this adage before, Stitch in Time Saves. No, I haven't. You've probably heard it, you just didn't register. No, I haven't. And then they start getting angry, and then it starts getting in this, listen, I don't sit around all day watching TV. I'm out living, you know, snowboarding or doing whatever. Look, curious equals smart. Not curious by just the very nature of information, just by the very nature of education. Not curious, not going to learn anything. Go to the best schools in the world. So if your kid's curious, fine. If he's not, not going to be smart. Doesn't mean they'll be unhappy. Doesn't mean they won't enjoy their life. Just not going to know that much. Just not going to have very much up in their hopper. And thank you. The more you know. Speaking of curious, Dr. Alter. Man, that guy's curious.
For him.
What would it be like to cut off a guy's schmeckle and in its place put a vagina?
And he trims labia that are too long. He does all kinds of things.
He's working on Angie right now.
Thought I heard something.
That's right. Luckily, she's still boozed up from last night, so he didn't have to use the anesthetic. All right, so anyway, he'll answer any of your plastic surgery questions. Andy Dick. Rolling train wreck. Andy Dick will be in here a little bit later on
maybe
as well.
Maybe Dr. Alter could sit down with Andy Dick and make him Andy Vagina.
I wondered where you were going with that, and it was right where I thought.
Yeah, but it worked.
Predictable.
Yeah. Yet still good.
Yergi, our Romanian-born producer, is going to come in here. He filmed his own porn. We watched it yesterday.
Oh.
It was fantastic. It was girl-on-girl with... girl-on-girl on Dino, the dinosaur. There's a dinosaur that's going to be added to the porn. Oh, Teresa, I don't think you saw it. Two beautiful women making love, and then he's going to add a dinosaur to the mix because he's convinced that that's box office. That's
everybody
big box
loves
office.
It. Everybody loves dinosaurs.
Yeah, Jurassic Park was big.
Yeah, Yergi, like I said, there may be a little cultural difference. He may be living a few years behind where we're at in terms of our information and what we use to amuse. But anyway, he's going to come in. He'll unveil this porn movie that he actually shot for us. Ludacris is going to call in, and Perez Hilton coming in studio. So we'll take a break. We'll bring Dr. Alter in here. If you have questions about plastic surgery, any kind of plastic surgery, he can definitely answer them. But certainly if you have questions on your nether regions, there's things you need to... Oh, maybe your urethra needs a little bit widening. Maybe if you're like the Ace Man, you have an asymmetrical sac syndrome. You want to get that corrected. Maybe you have the inner lips bigger than the outer lips, as they say. Any problems downstairs, especially Alter, which is his real name, although ironically his family has changed their names.
Out of shame.
Oh, yes, because you know they're Jews and they're all contemplating suicide on a daily basis. He is going to come in and he can address these questions like nobody on the planet. And I'm not exaggerating. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Dr. Gary Alter after this.
Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
What up, homies? Hell of a show for you today. Comedian Andy Dick. Hollywood gossip queen Perez Hilton. Porn producer Yergi. Hey, he's bringing porn stars. Sweet. And, of course, rap star Ludacris. Hey, Jack can lay down a rhyme. Oh, well, well, yippee-yo, yippee-yay, J-Sales in the motherfucking hey-yos. Holla at your boy, late.
Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
And here's Dr. Gary Alter on the Adam Carolla Show. Board certified in urology and plastic surgery. Only a couple of guys in the world can say that. Good to see you, doctor.
It's great to be here. It's kind of early, though, Adam.
I know. Well,
how do you do it?
We would... Well, have you listened to the show? Because I really don't.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
By the way, Dr. Alter exposing the intellectual curiosity of which you just spoke. He just asked you how you do it. Getting up early.
Thank you. I can rally. It's the other thing your child needs to have when we're talking about your child. Is he going to be or is she going to be a good student, successful in business, what have you? Can you rally? And, doctor, you know from working 110-hour weeks when you were at the hospital as a resident, right?
You got it.
You've got to. That is the thing. If there was a component, if you said to me, you know, I just had twins, they're 4 months old. If you said, would you like them to be the smartest kids in their class? Would you like them to have the highest IQ? Would you like them to be able to retain as much information as possible? Or would you rather they have the rally gene? That gene that can get you out of bed after an hour and a half sleep, after you've been boozing all night, clean your ass up and drag your ass into work and still have you perform. That gene that, you know, gets you off an airplane where you're in a different time zone and you're able to go on some radio show and still be funny, or you're able to perform some surgery or whatever you're there to do. Can you perform within less than great conditions, less than 8 hours sleep, less than a great meal in your belly? Are you able to rally? If you can rally, you'll do just fine in life. And you'll find that all the successful people have the rally gene. All the businessmen, all those guys able to perform with no sleep, so on and so forth. Yes?
Well, I agree. And I commend you for the intellectualism of this show today.
Thank you.
Because here we have the rally gene and intellectual curiosity, and you're right; those are probably two of the key things.
Now, when you combine intellectual curiosity with the rally gene, then you get Dr. Alter.
Then look out for your labia.
Well, I'll tell you what's interesting is I get a lot of interesting people in my practice, mm-hmm. with all kinds of jobs, and I actually spend a considerable amount of time hitting them on things that I don't know about. I had a funeral director in. I mean, there's all kinds of questions. I had no idea about what goes on in a funeral home.
Right.
And you just sit there and, I mean, the guy's coming in for some medical problem and I'm dealing with his business and his job.
Yeah, and when you say his business, you mean his genitalia?
So to speak.
What was his problem, by the way?
Who knows?
Oh,
he was
you
dead,
knows.
I guess.
Oh. Want a little more girth? Want to be the size of a headstone? All right, well, we have some questions for you involving, well, it looks like the Schmeckle here. Marco?
Yes, sir.
You have questions?
Hi, Adam.
Hi.
Hi, Dr. Alder.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I have a question for you. Is it? I know that they do like vaginal rejuvenation on women after you have two or three kids. But what if you don't have any kids? And do you know just the normal women that maybe have not had any kids but have had some stretching or?
Mm-hmm.
On occasion, women who have not had children and still have kind of loose vaginas do get surgery to tighten up their vaginas. And sometimes it may be a function of a partner situation.
Mm.
Let's say the man's a little bit smaller and the woman may be a little bit lax or stretched out.
What about like Kegel exercises or something like that?
Well, Kegels are very good and they give a woman more control. But, for example, after childbirth, I mean, the muscles and the tissue of the vagina itself can be very stretched out. And the woman can lose some sensation, as can the man. So surgery really, Kegels might help a bit, but the surgery really does help to.
How much for a basic rejuvenation of this nature?
How much does it cost?
Yes.
Oh, probably about $4,000 or $5,000.
And what is the procedure?
Generally speaking, assuming there's no other ancillary problems, all that's done is removing a portion of the lining of the vagina on the bottom, along with tightening of the muscles of the vagina.
How do you tighten them?
When you remove the lining of the vagina, the muscle is there and it's kind of loose, so you just stitch it together.
Is there anything a man can do as far as if he's a little on the small side? You don't want to do the whole...
Wrap a tube sock around your dingling and then tape it up with duct tape, like a NASCAR roll bar, like an old roll bar in a dune buggy. That's what I would do. Nothing you can do. You can do some girth. You can have operation add some girth, but that's going to cost more than the vaginal rejuvenation, right?
Well, the girth surgery I am somewhat opposed to because I've seen so many problems with it. I used to do it in the 90s, and then I stopped when I had one or two bad problems. I subsequently now see many problems from other doctors' girth surgeries where literally some men's lives have been ruined.
And here's the bigger problem from that. Not an ounce of sympathy from anybody at the workplace or any of your chums. Well, any guy that's trying to add, any guy's basically trying to turn his cigar tube into a can of corn and it goes wrong, gets nothing but big laughs. He could be on death's doorstep and be like, hey, did you hear about Ernie? He's clinging to life in the emergency room. What's the problem? Cancer? Leukemia? No, he was having penis girth. Serves him right.
Well, when you say things have gone horribly wrong, like, you know, what can happen?
Well, there's different ways to increase the girth of the penis. One of them is to just inject fat, which can cause a lumpy, irregular appearance. But other techniques are where, and we talked about it briefly last week, where you take a little bit of cadaver skin and you lay it in. And if that scars down and doesn't heal well, that can actually shrink the penis or cause curvatures of the penis because the penis can't stretch normally when the man gets an erection, and then it'll curve left or down or up or whatever.
Mine heads toward Mecca.
Might have some nice uses, the little curvature, right? Some creative applications.
You can see around a corner.
Periscope.
Let me ask you this. What is, you guys were talking about Kegel. This has nothing to do with beer stands and stuff like that.
It's an exercise where you you use your vaginal muscles, right, and you tighten them as if you're holding in pee. Yeah?
That's correct, yes. It's basically the woman sits there and tightens the muscles of her vagina.
It's essentially like working out a muscle. They've sort of been finding out lately that your brain needs a working out, your vagina needs a working out. It formerly was your bicep and your shoulders and stuff that we understood were muscles, but it turns out it seems like everything in your body, if you work it out, can benefit from it. And there's male Kegel exercises as well, right?
Yeah, well, it's the same muscles, basically, but it doesn't really do much for the man.
Right.
It's really the woman to tighten up the vagina.
So if you do a crossword puzzle and a Kegel, you'll be keeping everything in good standing. Right? Practicing your brain.
Oh, okay.
Keeping
it
sharp.
Right.
Yes.
And you're down there.
If you're a woman, right.
Yes. And it rhymes with bagel, Teresa, so you should have a...
It's extra special.
Extra special. Steve?
Yes.
You got a question about the morning crooked penis?
Yeah, well, it's not really crooked like a fish hook. It looks like a banana.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a problem. My wife enjoys it. It's just it's been that way since I was, you know, ever since I noticed.
Yeah.
And I just want to know if most guys are that way or if it's something that
All right.
Well, most guys have a little bit of curvature, but you're born with that curvature. And actually, I do operate on quite a few men in which the curvature is so bad that it either causes them to be very self-conscious or it actually interferes with intercourse. Mm,
I have a dog leg. My penis is a par five because of it.
What? I mean, how
sand trap in
how extreme of a curvature would you have you operated on?
Well, the congenitals, in other words, where they're born.
The guy was raping himself.
I mean, they can be so bad that it's a 90-degree curvature.
What?
Almost 90 degrees.
You mean it's just...
60 degrees is not that rare.
So, wow. Like,
uh-huh. And there's the sort of veering off, the ones that have some English on them, and then they're the ones that really take a turn, really have like a gooseneck, right?
Yeah, there are some severe ones, correct.
Now, you can straighten them out, but yes. I hear you lose a little in the length department.
What you lose on the congenital ones is the length on the convex side. So, mm-hmm. in other words, you're maintaining the length on the concave side because you're shortening...
Right.
The longer side to equal the shorter side.
Yes, it's as if you had a ladder where one leg was a few inches shorter than the other. You saw off the other, and the whole ladder drops down to the height of the left leg.
That's a good analogy.
Well, you can use it when you're talking to the frightened people about what's going to happen to their penis.
Adam, would you do it? Would you sacrifice an inch?
I have a step stool. I have a ladder. I have one of those things women keep in the kitchen to get stuff out of the cupboard. So I would be scared to shave any off of mine. But yes, I do. And look, I don't want to sound too homoerotic here, but you know the guys, like our last caller, Steve, they make it into what sounds like their 30s or 40s without ever seeing another man's penis? Like you go, these guys have things going on with their junk, and they're like, I don't know if everyone has this or I'm the only man on the planet who has it because I've never seen another.
I don't look.
Yeah, there's something called porn. I've seen thousands of penises in my day. I know exactly what's normal, what's large, where Peyronie's disease kicks in. I know it all.
He's
about the penis. Thank you.
I want one of these curved ones. I'm going to come see you about getting one of these curved wangs. It'd be great. I could just lay side by side next to my wife in the bed, watch TV, and at the same time,
mm-hmm. Oh, you could
run
spoon.
Her through.
Yeah, you could spoon while still facing the TV.
Yeah.
Well,
nice.
a little. Would you say what percentage of men have a little bit of curvature?
I'd say most men probably have a little bit of curvature. Hardly any man is perfectly straight.
Well, or to the point where it was sort of noticeable or you might comment on it.
I honestly, nobody has ever done a study of that, and I have no idea.
Well,
I mean, all I can tell you is...
The day is young. Get busy.
Yeah. Now there's a paper I could do, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So what does your day hold in store for you? You'll go to your office, chop off a few wangs, and then do lunch?
It doesn't quite work that way, but I usually, most days I am operating, and what I frequently do is most commonly I'll do a couple surgeries, and then I'll see patients in the afternoon.
What do you have cooking today?
Today, actually, I don't have much this morning, so I could stay here all morning now.
But later on,
when you pick up
the scalpel.
I got patients all day.
You do?
Pretty much, yeah.
Will you be cutting into flesh today?
No, there's no flesh cutting today.
All right. How about cheese cutting? Will that go on later on in the car, perhaps, with the heater on?
Well, we don't talk about that one.
Someone has a question about circumcision. Victor?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? I wanted to know about adult circumcision. Like, how painful is it? What's the recovery time? And, like, how much does it cost?
Adult circumcision usually is not very uncomfortable. It's really funny, but I hear all these stories about how horrible and painful it is, and I really think it's probably dependent upon the surgeon.
Adult circumcision.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, don't get it done. It's so horribly painful. And I have talked to adults where they do state that, but in my experience, it's really not that painful an operation. It's done under local anesthesia. You numb it up, and basically, you can't really have sex for about 4 or 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really keep you off work more than a day or so. I really think it's a function of the technique used by the doctor.
And how much might it cost?
It's dependent on the physician. You know, I mean,
give us a range.
So how much do you charge, Dr. Arnold?
I don't talk my prices, but I mean, I think, you know, it's probably most doctors would charge anything from a couple thousand to 4,000, somewhere in there.
And that, by the way, is too pedestrian a procedure for you, right, Dr. Alter?
No, I do circumcisions.
You do?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's nice.
You know, you got to kind of fill the day, relax, do a little circumcision.
What's up, Victor?
I just wanted to congratulate you on hiring Teresa, man. Awesome job. You're a genius.
Thank you.
Yeah, who's the genius? Teresa, you.
No, I'm a genius for hiring you. I didn't even find Teresa. I don't even know how we did. But, look, I was smart enough to hold on with two hands when that other chick said she wouldn't do it and she was moving back to San Antonio. All right, so.
Why do you have to hurt me? Why?
Because it's funny.
Can you fix that? Can you fix the, you know, can you do a rejuvenation on the pain?
How about a pain rejuvenation? So Dr. Gary Alter's in studio. He's a urologist. He's a board certified plastic surgeon. What's new? What can we expect to see in the foreseeable future as it pertains to plastic surgery in terms of techniques, changing boob jobs, nose jobs, tucks, things like that? Are there anything that we're not aware of that is maybe just a few more years of testing away from being available to the public?
Well, what's getting much bigger now is probably all these various fillers that are used in the face. Mm-hmm. We touched on that a little bit last week, too, where all these new products are coming out to fill concavities and wrinkles and to rejuvenate the face without operating. So that's becoming a much bigger part of not just plastic surgery, but cosmetic surgery.
Botox is sort of yesterday.
No, Botox is huge.
It's huge, but is it being replaced by other techniques?
No, what Botox does is it relaxes the muscles and therefore relaxes the wrinkles.
Right.
But then you have static wrinkles. Meaning
wrinkles that are there when you're asleep, when you're not smiling or not frowning or moving your face at
all. Correct. Or you have sagging. Mm-hmm. That just is there. So there are these new products that are coming out that can fill the wrinkles and kind of puff up the tissues that gives you that younger look. I mean, as we get older, what happens is we lose fat in our face. So we get thinner and things droop a little bit. So these products are coming out that last longer and they're safe where you fill up the tissue that's been lost.
You're talking about Sculptra and stuff like that, right?
Yes, all these various types of products Sculptra, Restylane, et cetera, that fill it up and make you look younger.
But as far as the boob job goes, there's just going to be no replacing opening up the flesh and putting a sack of something in to make it appear like you have a more enhanced breast, right?
Pretty much, right. There's nothing.
No pills, no injections for that. Jeff?
Correct.
Yes, hi. Hi, Adam. I just wanted to know, is there any way to lengthen the penis without a surgery?
Some men, you can wear some of these weight devices to kind of stretch the penis. Now, you can stretch any part of your body. You can even stretch bone with enough tension and force. So what happens is men can try to lengthen their penis by wearing one of these devices that really attach to the penis or hang, and then it stretches. But you have to wear this for like months.
I had a cousin that was pretty religious about the weights. He didn't live out here. He's over in Louisiana, and then Katrina hit, and they've not found him yet. It's sad. It's something I haven't brought up on the air. Obviously, it's an embarrassment to the family. My dad would kill me if he heard me speaking of it, but let that be a cautionary tale. Probably enough said.
You mean
until they recover the body?
You can
enough
wait.
Said.
You can wait down. You can wait down your penis for enough time, and it will actually stretch.
If it's done for like 10 minutes, a couple times a day for months and months.
Yeah.
Weights. What do you do? You just say it's just and you just stand there.
Yes, that's what some men do.
Wow. You could combine it with squats.
Yeah, you
can, sure.
The weights and the suction and that kind of stuff, it sort of works, but does it add as much when you're erect? It seems like it would add more when you're flaccid.
It might add when you're erect, too.
It might. But then if you went away from the weight regimen, it would go back to from whence it came, right?
You know, nobody's really studied that, but probably would go back a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably have to maintain. It's kind of like weightlifting in general.
Right.
You have to maintain a little bit or you just kind of...
You just lose it.
Right.
What do you think about all the anti-aging drugs and cocktails and things that are all in the news these days?
I think they're fascinating.
Potentially fascinating.
Like the HGH, would you ever take that yourself?
I consider that, yes.
Do you take it?
No, I don't. But
you would.
I'm considering it, to be honest. Yeah.
Well, I have heard doctors talk about it. I mean, there's two schools of thoughts. There's the old school thought, which is there's no free lunch in nature. It's just you get in and monkey, and some way along the line, you're going to have to pay. And then you see these exposés on 60 Minutes with some 71-year-old guy who looks like Stallone. Speaking of human growth hormone, and he's lifting weights and he's banging the bejesus out of his secretary, and you tell him it's killing him.
Yeah, his penis is benching 400.
That's right.
Alone.
That's right. So there is potential here.
There is, and it's growing. The whole market of anti-aging is mm-hmm. just booming. It's going crazy.
Do you find, though, that people have a sort of reticence to get into it, almost like they have with stem cell and stuff? There's a sort of biblical line that you cross here where you take the idea of the notion of taking a society and adding 10 years or 20 years on to their life, or again, like I said, stem cell stuff. There's a lot of slippery slope people out there that are just kind of freaked out by the potential, like cloning, I guess, was one of these things. It's not so much that they're against it, it's just they're looking down the road 50 years and they're seeing some sort of Orwellian nightmare.
You know, I never kind of looked at it that way. What I always looked at it in terms of like the growth, the human growth hormone is I worried that if I took it, is that going to cause me to get a cancer that's there, maybe growing faster or maybe accelerating, maybe giving me diabetes.
Right. So
something. I mean, it really has to be watched closely if you're going to get it. And people using those medicines without supervision is very dangerous,
right.
I think.
So if most guys get prostate cancer by the time they're in their 80s, you speed everything up. Maybe you get it in your 60s.
Per chance. That's kind of unknown.
We need to take a break. Dr. Gary Alter, I know you got to get to your alterations. And the Schmeckles. Pretty nice name for a family on the WB.
Meet the Schmeckles.
Meet the Schmeckles. AlterMD.com. AlterMD.com is where you go. Also, you can find Dr. Gary Alter appearing on E! Dr. 90210. Always enlightening, Dr. Alter.
Oh, thanks, Adam.
We hope to see you on a weekly basis here. They never run out of questions
for
you.
That'd be great. I love it.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with news and sports. T, what's in the news?
Well, we were talking about dangerous drugs. That's a lot in the news. We're going to be talking about the death of Anna Nicole Smith's son. There's finally some toxicology on that and more.
All that after this.
At 6:30 on Hallmark, Walker, Texas Ranger, a murder witness on the run, reunites with her estranged husband, a pro wrestler dying of an aneurysm, guest starring Rowdy Roddy Piper. At 7 on VH1, be sure not to watch Behind the Music. Rat. The band Rat is profiled using clips and archival interviews. Then at 9 on Lifetime, absolutely do not watch Honeymoon with Mom. A jilted bride goes on her honeymoon with her mother and has a bonding experience, starring Shelley Long. That's what not to watch. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
All righty. Well, I'm not going to tell you what not to watch or what to watch, but I will tell you what to listen to, namely Teresa Strasser and her news.
Thank you.
See the way I went up an octave at the end?
Yeah, it was really...
Seemed exciting.
I know.
Here we go, baby.
I don't get that every day.
All I got to say is get it on.
Well, if we have learned anything from our celebrity tragedies this week, it is do not go mixing pills willy-nilly. Dr. Cyril Wecht, who is the pathologist hired by Anna Nicole Smith to examine her son Daniel's body, went on Larry King Live last night to explain, finally, how her 20-year-old son Daniel died in the Bahamas.
He died tragically, and I believe quite accidentally, as a result of the cumulative effect of three brain depressant drugs, methadone, Zoloft, and Lexapro. We knew about Lexapro, methadone, and Zoloft come as a big surprise to, and Nicole, to Howard Stern, to the attorneys, to everybody. And at this point, I do not know the source.
Apparently, they have no idea how he got the methadone.
Well, it's an ever-increasing problem. A lot of people, I've seen a lot of news reports on this. Methadone is a heroin replacement. It's meant for people that just cannot get off heroin, so it's a lesser of two evils kind of drug. Dr. Drew has always hated methadone. He always says it's... You then get strung out on methadone, so... What's the difference? You're either shooting up H your whole life or you're doing methadone your whole life. Either way, one is just safer in its delivery form. If you're shooting up and you have a rig and you're tying off and things are unsanitary versus being in a clinic and doing it in a controlled way, but it's still essentially more heroin. And now everyone's getting into it, even the people that weren't heroin users.
Yeah, it's being used as a painkiller. And you're exactly right. You drink it in a liquid form. So I guess, you know, you don't have to deal with needles, et cetera. But it does suppress the brain and lungs and can kill you, obviously.
I got to tell you, too, I would OD on that stuff immediately, because just from what I can do with a NyQuil bottle, I don't measure it out and look at the little graduated lines in the plastic cup. I take a chug off that bottle, and if the first one feels like it didn't take, I'll take another chug. And then I'll oftentimes wash down a sleeping pill or something with some of the NyQuil. That's how you know when you've had a problem. When you're washing down stuff with stuff. When it's not enough that you just take a couple of sleeping pills, you're actually washing it down with peppermint schnapps.
Right. Let me get the taste of this methadone out of my mouth with some tequila.
That's right.
See how that goes. Now, Terry Irwin, the crocodile hunter's widow, spoke out publicly for the first time last night. She was interviewed by Barbara Walters, and she talked about her husband getting killed by the stingray. And she also told a story about when she first met the crocodile hunter and her heart dropped because she thought that he had a girlfriend.
When I first met him, I wasn't sure if he was married or not, but he didn't seem to be. He seemed to be talking to me like he kind of liked me, too. And I think it was kind of funny because he told me right off the bat that he had a girlfriend, and I was a little bit devastated, and then he whistled, and he said, "Come here, Sue." And I thought, this is really odd. And then here came this little dog.
He was effing a dog? I was only half listening, but that sounds weird to me.
No, I think he was just referring to his little dog.
Well, I don't know what he was doing to the dog. Look, I can't judge. Here's my, you know, Australia, it's a different land. They have different rules over there. But let me say this. Eventually, a new guy is going to come into her life, and those are going to be some pretty big khaki shorts to fill. I would not hold up well with the croc hunter when the first cry out, Adam, there's a spider on the ceiling in the kid's nursery. Oh, my goodness. Let's call the Orchid Man.
My ex used to wrestle down crocodiles that were 12 feet long. You can't kill a spider?
This is a big... This may be one of those wolf spiders.
Yes, that is a good point.
I mean, could you imagine the next guy who has to come in there and just see, you know, oh, it's a weekend marathon of the croc hunter. I mean, nobody likes to see the old man in the picture. If he dies, well, you understand. But just to see the constant vigil that's the eternal flame of him and he's wrestling a crocodile. You know, look, if he's sitting behind a desk and he's wearing one of those green visors or something, maybe you can get by with it. But it's wrestling crocs.
And yeah. He's so beloved. He's very,
I know.
Kids love him.
I know.
Well, David Hasselhoff, back in the news. He's in England now promoting his movie Click. During an interview, he was asked about the chaos you might remember from earlier this week involving his 14-year-old daughter, Haley. Now, allegedly, she was scratched by a cat while at the home of David's estranged wife, Pamela. Then David was on an airplane when he found out that she got scratched. He called 911, and now Pamela says that David reported the incident as a suicide attempt to make her look like an unfit parent. They're obviously having a very contentious divorce. Now, here is David laughing off the whole situation on British TV.
It is so blown out of proportion that when I heard this, I went, what? And my daughter was going, oh, great, Dad, now I got to go to school and all the kids look at me. She scratched herself. I was on an airplane, and I said, oh.
Yeah, well, mixed with the booze and the methadone, and that's what happens.
Now, if you hear the laugh, you tell me, is he drinking during this interview? Just the laugh.
Well, as I always say, he would deny it, which means you have the world's worst laugh. It's like when you're slurring your speech and someone says, are you drunk? And you go, no, I'm not drunk. Wow, this is what you sound like in the morning then, every day?
Speech impediment.
So I'd much rather be drunk than retarded. That retarded is a permanent buzz.
Well, the laughs continued as Clay Aiken was having a conversation. And let me tell you something. Larry King tickled Clay Aiken's funny bone like I have never heard. Take a listen.
You look weird to yourself.
I look weird to myself all the time.
That is a funny looking person.
No.
I'm not raging you. I'm a funny looking guy, but that guy is a different looking guy. Any?
Yes. Thank
I
you,
mean,
Larry.
Come on. You call yourself nerdy.
I am nerdy.
You are gay.
This coming from a guy that if you took the Grim Reaper, Scarecrow, and a buzzard and put them in a Cuisinart and poured them into a tumbler, that's what Larry King looks like. It's like you're being interviewed by, it's like a buzzard raped the Grim Reaper, and this is what came out, and a microphone came out in front of him, and that's what you're being interviewed by.
This set does look like God's waiting room.
It really does. That's what I picture that purgatory to be like. The set of Larry King. That's where you'll just be sitting there across from a hologram of Larry King, and he'll be asking you stupid questions.
Well, Clay Aiken went on to say that the camera adds 10 pounds of weird. And he also said that, Larry King obviously asked him the gay question that he's been asking. He couldn't get a straight answer.
Yeah, well, is stop me if I'm wrong, but Clay Aiken, other than looking a little gay, nothing wrong with him, right?
He's a nice-looking guy, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's not a matinee idol, but there's nothing wrong with him.
No, he's a nice singer.
I would call him cute. Yeah. If he was straight, he could get as much tail as he wanted, right?
Absolutely.
All right.
He looks like a pixie a little bit.
Yeah. Ironically, it's called tail when you're straight, but when you're gay, they don't seem to call it tail. I would argue that it should be called tail when you're gay, that Bill, our gay pre-op board op, can get as much tail as he wants on the weekend. We should get heads. Or whatever the opposite of tail is. But we should be working the front side, not focusing on tail.
The more you know. I am Teresa Strasser, and that is the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
So much NFL tomfoolery to get to, but first, very exciting pennant race going down in the National League. Dodgers scored 5 late to pull out a second straight win in Colorado. Meantime, Albert Pujols and the Cardinals dumped the Padres, and the Phillies got past the Nationals. So what's it all mean? Padres are 1 game up on the Dodgers in the NL West. Dodgers 1 game up on the Phillies in the wild card race. 4 games to go. Dodgers are going to have to win some games up in San Francisco this weekend. One thing they're not going to have to bother with, though, is saying goodbye to Barry the Creep Bonds. He's announced, delightfully, he's coming back next year.
Well, good for you.
Wonderful. Now, NFL, crazy times down in Big D. Yesterday started with reports that Cowboys star receiver Terrell Owens, who was taking pain medication for his broken finger, had tried to kill himself. A media circus ensued. His teammates stepped to the fore to support T.O. and deny that this had happened. Here's Brady James.
You got to understand, 81 loves him too much to even think about something like that. So, you know, let's be realistic now.
Yeah. I see. So he's too arrogant and narcissistic to kill himself.
His jersey loves himself too
yes,
much.
Yes, 81, yes. And then head coach Bill Parcells, who obviously is very much in love with T.O. Sure. at this point and all the distractions he's brought to the team, then he tried to address the media.
How many times can I answer the question, when I find out what the hell is going on, you will know. Until then, I'm not getting interrogated for no reason.
Always a ray of sunshine. Then the man of the hour himself, T.O., stepped to the microphone, and he denied the whole thing. He was not taking pills. He said, it's all a bunch of hooey, applesauce, flapdoodle, well, and so on.
Let me ask this.
Excuse me. It's Mr. Sheldrake, the program director. He would like me to stop doing this bit. But no, then he...
Jack Silver, you have a problem with Mr. Sheldrake?
Doesn't print.
T.O., I do want you to take a listen. Take a close listen to T.O. And tell me, you've just been accused by many media people of trying to kill yourself. Listen to the outrage in his voice.
No, I'm not depressed by any means. You know, I'm very happy to be here.
Something stinks with this one. You know, if somebody accused you of trying to kill yourself, you would be outraged. You'd scream from the rooftops. You'd immediately sue the people who suggested that you were trying to kill yourself. You know, plus, his publicist is the one who makes the first report. Then Deion Sanders is coming out of his front door to talk to the media about it. Prime time is his counsel.
Yes.
Something smells fishy with this. Yes. I don't know exactly what's going down, but something's weird.
It's nice to have a guy in a purple velvet fedora and alligator shoes speaking on your behalf when it comes to sensitive and delicate emotional issues.
Yes. Now,
in a yellow vest.
Yeah, get me Dershowitz, not Dion, if I'm in trouble.
That's only the start of the weird stuff in the NFL. Here's one more for you. Charger safety Terrence Keel is in trouble with Johnny Law, also drug-related. He's been charged with dealing prescription cough syrup. He sent a shipment to down to Texas, apparently. The stuff is called Lean, and it's somehow a prescription drug codeine-based, and it's mixed with something else.
You go robo-tripping.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I'm doing it now.
It doesn't look good for him. Those 35 bottles delivered to Tio. But at least it explains why Keel named his daughter NyQuil.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Now, did I step on your NyQuil joke 20 minutes ago, or did I inspire it?
I thought it was very funny that you would mention NyQuil. Fitting. Of all the times to mention NyQuil. NyQuil Keel, though. That would be a good name, wouldn't it?
Would be nice. All right. Well, where were we? I'm wondering if Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys, if T.O. kills himself, does Jerry Jones need to pay out his contract, or is he off the hook? I would imagine he'd be off the hook. One could look at a conspiracy. If one was a conspiracy theorist, maybe Jerry Jones would be very much okay with realizing
strategery.
Essentially, he spent a ton of money for a used Bentley. This is what happened. Beautiful. He'd always wanted a Bentley. He just spent a ton of money on it. He's now driven it around the block a few times and realizes, I got a lemon. If I torch this thing and push it down a hill, I'll just collect the insurance and get my money back, and I'll just cut bait right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I wonder if he hopes. I wonder if you asked Jerry Jones if you got him loaded up with the NyQuil and Robitussin and methadone, and you said, look, if it had nothing to do with you and it could never be traced, if T.O. just killed himself tomorrow and you were done with it, no more, you know, you weren't having to pay him. Now you're having to pay him, you know, 500 grand a week, and he's not even working at this point. But just to chalk it up to experience and move forward, would you go for it?
There is no doubt. I don't care what they say. There is no doubt that they wish they could have made this whole thing go away.
Yeah.
Just go get into the time machine and unsign that contract.
And Jerry Jones is a dear friend, and I say that. But I still believe he'd want him to kill himself.
Now he's talking about playing this weekend. Everything's fine. He's ready to go.
Practicing yesterday, right?
Yeah. Right. But there's no game this weekend.
There is a game this weekend. Yes, he had the bye week this past Sunday. So, yes, he is playing.
That's right. He crowned. Wow. You know, happens when you go out of town on Sunday afternoon.
But then the big game is the following Sunday against Philadelphia in Philadelphia. I'm sure that won't draw much media attention at all.
All right. Well, we'll keep everyone posted. We need to take a break. Andy Dick coming in studio. Yeah. Always refreshingly honest. Andy Dick, usually because he's grotesquely drunk. But Andy Dick will come in studio. Yergi, a Romanian porn producer, is coming by. He's actually produced a film that involves two women and a dinosaur. Ludacris, Perez Hilton, is going to be on as well. When we come back, we're going to do a little recap. Yesterday, Johnny Knoxville, the great Johnny Knoxville, from the number one movie in the United States, Jackass 2, was in here, and he put Scary Perry's penis and scrotum into a mousetrap and let it fly. Alter would not approve, by the way, but we're in here promoting Windy City Heat, our DVD. Johnny came in, and, well, we'll play it for you and comment on it after this.
You asked for it, now you've got it. Less ads, more Adam. The Adam Carolla Show.
to the Adam Carolla Show, where it's your final chance to outbook August in September.
Mike August is the name of the guy who normally books our talent. That's why it's Outbook August.
Beat him and you'll win $10,000.
It's 10 grand of my money.
Who's going to win? The guy who booked Willie Nelson.
Wow, Willie?
Hello there.
Are you still smoking the spleef?
Oh, I thought you got one.
Or Tony Hawk.
It feels like you guys should break into song right here.
Big Tad booked Howard Stern.
The idea that you're there doing the show is something that comforts me.
And Mike August booked Johnny Knoxville.
Get your balls out and let's put your balls in a mouse trap.
But not one of the sticky traps.
No, this is an actual mouse trap.
Yeah. Tough, but not unbeatable. But hurry up, you only have until Friday to outbook August in September. Now back to Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
We also have, thanks, Brian. Whacked right into my thing. Also, we have The Rock and Norm MacDonald. And again, we've talked about it. There's phoners. Stern was a phoner, but it was like a simulcast phoner. We were talking to him. He wasn't in the studio, but we were on his show while he was on our show. He wasn't on his cell phone driving his kids to school in the morning. So that added an extra cool factor. Johnny Knoxville, maybe no Howard Stern, but number one movie of the weekend, and not two weekends ago, this particular weekend, he was in here 2-3 days after the box office totals came in, and he was the number one box office star that week, and put Scary Perry from Windy City Heat, put his testicles into a mousetrap, and didn't have his assistant let the mousetrap fly on the Pepe. He did it himself. And we talked about it before. You have a guest in here, he's a slug, or you have a guest in here and he plays Ask Kiss Rodeo. There is a difference when it comes to the voting.
Yes, so. the star of Jackass doing Jackassery.
That's right.
In studio?
That was fantastic.
Yeah, so just to recap, and we'll play a little of that for you right now. This is a Johnny Knoxville. He brought a mousetrap, not a fake mousetrap, not a novelty mousetrap, but a real mousetrap. Scary Perry was in here from Windy City Heat, out on DVD as we speak. I recommend it highly. We produce it. It is a fantastic comedy. He was in here and he said, look, I'm going to play your role. I'm going to play Stone Fury. That's the name of Scary Perry's role. I will be playing it in Windy City Heat too, if you don't put your Pepe in the mousetrap. So let's hear how that went.
Stone Fury could do
all
that.
All right, so get your balls out, and let's put your balls in a mousetrap.
Show him, Perry.
Your balls in a mousetrap.
Perry is actually sidling up to Johnny Knoxville, who is holding a mousetrap, and not one of the sticky traps.
No, this is an actual mousetrap. Well, yeah. Let's get the balls out. Wow, you have a little penis. It looks like an egg in a nest. Okay, you ready? Put him on here.
All right. He's putting his scrotum sack onto the mousetrap.
Move your hand.
Oh,
move your hand.
Lord.
When I got home, my nanny, who listens to the show quite a bit, had all sorts of questions about that man. Why would he put his penis? Did he really? A lot of people give that, did he really, did you guys really? First off, we're not good enough actors to pull that kind of stuff off. What do you think? Me and Johnny Knoxville and five other guys are standing there with the sound effects machine acting out some elaborate script. You can't do that. Obviously, that thing slapped down on his meat. Otherwise, you could tell. Believe me, the timing wouldn't be right. The sounds wouldn't be right. The inflection wouldn't be right. We're just not good enough to pull that off. So believe me, it went down. Very uncomfortable answering questions to my nanny about shooting water out of anuses and having mouse traps come flying down on guys' penises. The second I get off this show, I become one of you. I mean, I'm just as frightened by this stuff as you guys are. It's only my job to do it here. The second I get home, I become coy and embarrassed. I don't want to talk about it. She wants to talk about it. I find a lot of people want to talk about it. Here's my new rule. Don't talk to me about anything that has to do with the show unless it's complimentary.
I think that's fair. If you want to say good job, Adam, that's it. After that, leave you alone.
Did he really put his ball sack in the mousetrap? Yeah. Oh, and so you let the mousetrap go on his butt? Yeah. Could you hand me the bottle, by the way? Sonny's hungry.
Or Natalia, I can't tell.
I can't tell. I know by girth now. He's morbidly obese. At age 4 months,
that,
yes.
I actually felt nauseous for a couple hours after that mousetrap incident because I happened to peer over just enough time to see the fleshy gonads of this man be entrapped in this. Oh, and I just thought, what is... I was a respected journalist just months ago.
I know. It horrified everyone in here. Board op Bill only orgasmed twice, by the way, during the procedure. It was that disgusting. Usually does five in that time period.
Although Knoxville, very handsome, surprisingly so, I thought.
He's easy on the eyes. Mm-hmm. He's tough on the Johnson, but easy on the eyes. That's what I say about Knoxville. Tough on the dork, easy on the eyes.
Well said.
I think we have another clip to play from yesterday's escapades as well.
Put your penis
Where's
out.
My $10 million contract?
Hey, just be professional. Hey,
this is an audition.
Why aren't you late today? No, your penis, not your balls.
Put your penis in there.
Okay, drop your penis on there. Drop it on there. Move your hand.
Oh,
move your hand.
Lord.
Oh! Oh, wow.
Oh, he did it.
Jackass 2!
I'm sorry.
I didn't scream when I had mine
that's
done,
true,
but
that's
pretty
true.
Good.
That's true.
Johnny, you are a pro. Now imagine, I've just thought about this, it's just leapt into my mind, but imagine trying to explain this to the Middle Eastern culture and explain that we're all heterosexual. Do you know what I mean? I don't think they would buy that.
Not to mention the element of getting paid to watch people.
Yeah.
Right. I think if you explain that there are 5-6 guys in a room, that one guy had his phallus out, the other guy was handling it and putting it in a device that catches rodents and then slapping down, you would assume, A, we're all going to hell, and then B, we're not only going to hell, we're going to gay hell. Oh, there's a different hell. I'll see you there, Bill. There's a different hell. There's the hell you get, you know, when you kill the old lady with a shotgun blast, and then there's the one where you're killed by your man's shotgun, so to speak. That's a different kind of hell. I'm not saying it's better or worse. I just believe there's a different hell for the gays. And if you explain to these cultures, the Middle Eastern cultures, the Arab men, if you explain to them and talk to them about guys and penises and mousetraps and exchange of money and the number one movie, and I'm not sure that they could quite understand that. Perhaps we should export that. Perhaps if we exported Jackass to some of these countries, it would say more than any speech that Bush could ever deliver or any flag that could ever be waved in front of them. Maybe we need to just let them know we're effing nuts. Don't mess with us because this is what we do for a good time. You guys think you're badasses because you blow yourselves up in a bus. This is what we do for fun. We're not martyrs. We're just out having a good time.
Oh, I'm pretty sure in Bush's torture lairs in undisclosed locations, they're using the mousetrap on the genitals.
Yeah.
By the way, I was wondering, I'd like to know Perry, who was the victim of the mousetrap yesterday at the hands of Johnny Knoxville. I was curious, what do you think he got the left ball first,
mm-hmm.
and then secondly, he did the head
mm-hmm.
of the wang. Which do you think would hurt worse? I would have liked to have asked him that.
The thing about the ball is kind of funny. Because I've had a lot of ball trauma in my day. And listen, Olga, that's my nanny's name. If you're listening, let's not discuss the specifics of the ball trauma when I come home this afternoon. But it's interesting that you bring that up because I believe that even within the actual balls, the balls have balls. There's a sweet spot and a vulnerable spot within the balls. My balls have balls.
Wow.
You understand?
It's like a Russian doll.
Yes. Those little wooden dolls. Yes. The more you know. Let it be known that my balls have balls. You could kick me in the balls and sometimes zero. Nothing. You didn't hit my balls. You hit my balls, not my balls.
Right.
Once in a while, though, you do strike pay dirt when you kick the ace man in the balls and then you hit the balls. And that's when I coil over and keel over and lie on the ground. And you know, the good thing about getting it good in the balls is it takes 2.5 steps to kick in.
Yes.
Kick the guy in the balls, he takes 2.5 steps and then starts to fold like a burrito falling on the ground. That's fine. Now, if it's initial pain, that's a near miss. But if the guy can take 2.5 steps and then fall over into the fetal position, that's when you've hit the balls.
Yes,
that's the worst feeling when you get that hit and you have that beat or two of, oh, this is going to be terrible. Serendipitously, by the way, expert Andy Dick just walked into the studio. How perfect is that? We can ask his opinion
on this.
We'll
speak to him in a moment. Sarah?
Yes, Dick.
You're our 72-year-old meth head.
I'm almost 73. Let's call it 73. All right. I haven't gotten the phone.
But you don't dispute the meth head, Bar.
I'm sorry?
Sarah.
What?
How are you feeling, by the way, my dear?
Well, I'm in the midst of a deep depression coupled with an anxiety attack that was good. You caught me on a good day. Do you want to know misery, this is it?
You're right. Sorry, sister. Hey, you know, we wanted to get your input. I got to give away $10,000 tomorrow. $10,000.
I have a purse. I have a wallet.
I understand. But I don't think you're in the running. You're not a celebrity. You can help us make the decision.
You mean Kyle's not getting $10,000 for getting me on a phone?
No.
Oh, he's already spending it.
She does listen.
I know.
Kyle, the hippie phone screener, rejected.
Yeah, so what do you think, Sarah? Howard Stern, Johnny Knoxville, The Rock, Norm MacDonald, Tony Hawk, Willie Nelson. Who do you think's been the best guest over the last few weeks?
Well, Norm, of course, is, like, you know, my favorite.
Wow. He's funny.
Next to you.
Thank you. Yes, Norm came on the show and was super funny for, you know, half an hour. On the other hand, as far as the marquee names go, not up there
well,
with The Rock or Knoxville.
It was a surprise and more impressive because it was such a surprise.
Well, but here's the thing. It's more about marquee bookings than it is about content.
Is he getting $10,000 for having you on his show?
Is who?
Stern.
Good question, Sarah.
Yeah, it's flattering, but I'm going to go with no.
Oh, wow.
All right, so who would you cast your vote for? Stern, Knoxville, The Rock? What do you think?
Stern, I guess.
You're going to go with Stern?
Huh. Yeah.
Do you like the Jackass movies?
No, I think they're all nuts.
I see.
I need real psychos.
Mm-hmm. And
I think all men are to a certain extent, but they're particularly sick.
So, Sarah, speaking of psychos, how's your daughter doing?
I have no idea.
She's out? She's doing drugs?
I don't know. I don't know where she is.
But she's not coming home.
I haven't had any contact with her for weeks.
Weeks?
Yeah.
Do you fear for her safety?
Of course.
Do you...
I wish she would call. I think she did call one time. She said about a sentence and a half, and I didn't understand a word of what she said, and then she hung up. But I imagine it was something nasty. I fear for her. She tried to kill herself, you know.
She did?
Yeah.
When?
Before she left.
Oh, so you think she's getting high, and that's why she's not coming home?
No, I think she hates me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why she's not coming home.
All right, Sarah. Hey, but good times, right?
What?
Good times.
Well, you know, children, you know, I don't care how they are. They're kids where they hate their parents.
I saw that exact same thing on a bumper sticker driving in.
What?
Hey, Sarah. I don't want to make a bad situation worse, but I have a couple of kids.
Mm-hmm.
And if I get to my golden years and they hate Papa...
Oh, it'll pass. It always passes.
You mean they'll hate Papa?
Many tears and, you know...
I'm going a little different direction. I will kill them.
Oh.
That's my feeling. A lot of people would feel shame or be depressed themselves. I will take it out on them. I will say I can't stand the idea of my adult children hating me and I'll kill them. What's that?
They might be grateful.
They might be. I'm just, here's what I'm saying. Let me put you on hold for a second, Sarah. Let me get heavy and philosophical for a second. To me, as a human being, about the worst thing you could tolerate in life, and this is not some disease that's going to kill you, but just in life, is knowing that your kids resent you, hate you, or worse, especially as you get older. I mean, that's about all you have to look back on. That essentially is your legacy. That's what you're going to leave. You don't have many, many months or years left on this planet, but someone who does is the person that sprang forth from your loins some years ago. The fact that an amazingly high percentage of Americans have kids that hate them is sad and probably not a good indicator for the future. I feel like if you're in Japan or Norway, it's different. I would love to see how this works out. I know different cultures put a different emphasis on different things, but it seems like our culture, and it seems like a lot of my friends, aren't particularly big fans of their folks. And again, you're Sarah, you're 72, you have some health issues, the doctors haven't given you all the time in the world to live. It's unclear how long she's going to be here, but I don't think it's going to be that much longer. Let's hope she hangs on through the fall book. But the point is all you have is the child that you left behind, and they hate your guts? That's the saddest thing in the world, and they don't seem too bothered by it. And maybe one could argue, well, the same person that was okay with ruining their child at a young age is now okay with them hating their guts. I would call it the ultimate narcissism, if you really think about it. I mean, when you talk about narcissism and you talk about people that look in the mirror and think there's a matinee idol staring back at them, that's one kind of narcissism. But the ultimate narcissism is your kids hate your guts and you're cool with it.
Mommy!
Doesn't affect you. It's not you who hates your guts. It's this other person that hates your guts, and so be it. As long as they don't try anything, you're fine, and we'll move on with life. I don't think I could tolerate that. I really don't. If my twins, when they got into their 20s, 30s, and 40s, just decided that I was a horrible person and a crappy, piss-poor parent, I would be very upset by that on a daily basis, and it doesn't seem like we're upset enough about it.
You would woo them.
I would woo. Does that mean kill? Because yes.
Well, I mean, the odds are you will be an imperfect parent.
That's right.
I don't get along with my parents.
I've already started saving for therapy. Not college, therapy. A lot of people put some money aside for college. I'm putting aside for therapy. Sarah?
Very wise.
So, you see, thank you. You seem sort of okay that your only daughter hates your guts.
You're not. I'm not at all.
It's disturbing to you.
It is killing me.
Well, how about you reach out to her?
I don't know where she is.
But when you speak to her, and eventually she'll check in with you or she'll call you, how about you?
Oh,
but Sarah, she does. You know she does. You know that the phone is going to ring, if not today, maybe a week from today, but the phone will ring. How about you just lay it out for her? How about you tell her you love her and you're sorry?
Oh, I have. And I talked to someone who talks to her. That guy that she used to live with.
I'm sure he's a delight, yes.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he's the only number I have. So, it's a cell phone most of the time, you know, it doesn't even take messages. And I asked how she is, and he said she's okay. And she was with this girl, young girl.
All right, but Sarah, that you're just talking in a circle now. I'm just saying the next time you speak to her, she just first words out of your mouth is, I'm sorry, and the second words are, I love you. And see if you guys can get on some sort of road to healing before it's too late.
Yeah, if there were any contact, that's exactly what would happen.
Well, she will contact you.
No,
and if she's listening, she should.
She doesn't have time.
Oh, Sarah. All right, so now I feel horrible.
Oh, Sarah, are you worried that she's not going to get in touch with you?
Yes.
Because I know you're not feeling all that well.
No, not only that. Now I think I'm losing, you know, I'm blinding one eye and the other eye. Something is desperately wrong with it.
All right, well, Sarah, I'm sorry. We need to take a break because Andy Dick is waiting in the studio.
The one good thing is, though, Sarah, doesn't Adam cheer you up every morning?
Yes.
Brings a little light into your world?
Well, yeah, especially since TV is really no longer an option. I can't read anymore, and that was what I did.
I see. So I'm your third option, but thank you anyway.
No, you're not my third option.
Fifth?
No, but you'll be the only one now.
Thank you, baby doll.
You're the first option, but
okay, but your vote, just to recap, your vote is for Howard Stern in the Outbook August in September, yes?
I guess So,
all right, that's enough.
Look, yeah, Norm Macdonald at a close second.
If the daughter's listening out there, please contact mommy. She's on death's doorstep. She's depressed. She's going blind. She misses you. See if you can work that out. And all you parents out there, or even parents to be, please listen to what it could end up being out there. You could be alone and dying and have kids that resent you. And again, that's all you have when you're in Sarah's position, is what you've left behind. That is your legacy. Your legacy resents you. Your legacy hates your guts. All right. We need to take a break. What? Oh, Andy Dick. Yeah. Andy Dick is coming in. Maybe Andy Dick could counsel Sarah a little bit. Why don't we try that?
He's we'll been take a the big blue marble with some mess.
Take a quick break quickly, Russ.
Yes, Adam. Good morning.
Your vote is for Knoxville?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
Noted. That's right.
Big
brevity, soul of wit. Speaking of brevity, Andy Dick is coming in next. We'll talk to him on the Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show from the Comedy Central roast of William Shatner.
The actual captain's log. I was just exiting the shower when Spock entered my quarters. He stared at me hungrily, like Lieutenant Uhura eyeing a plate of ribs. Captain, when was the last time you had your hole vulcanized? Mounted me, boldly going where only a few guys back in college had gone before. For a being with no emotions, his meat hammer sure seemed to be angry with my butt.
Andy Dick on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you, Andy.
I should have screamed that line. I should have said, for a being with no emotions, his meat hammer sure seemed to be angry with my butt.
Wow.
Like that, right?
Powerful stuff. Andy Dick, who does just about every roast at Comedy Central.
Well, there's only been three.
Has there only been three?
There was Carson Daly, where I was Daphne Aguilera.
Well, now, wait a minute.
No, there have been more than that.
Carson Daly. Anderson and William Shatner.
Hefner?
No.
Was he roasted?
Whoa.
No, that was it. There's only three.
Hold on a second. I did the Hefner roast, so...
Hefner?
Yes.
Hefner? It was on...
There's a magazine that straight guys look at called Playboy.
What? Tell me about this magazine.
What goes on?
You know how you're into Playgirl, Andy? This is the heterosexual equivalent to Playgirl.
Interesting. No, come on. I'm dating a girl right now.
Yeah, with a penis.
Oh, man. Wow. Sing it. Bring it.
No, I will say this about...
There wasn't a roast on TV of Hefner.
Yes, Comedy Central presents the New York Friars Club roast of Hugh Hefner.
It was on TV.
Yes.
Andrew Carey.
Well, Hefner was afraid to have me on, I guess.
Yeah. Well... The thing about Andy, we make fun of Andy and his...
I'm 86th from the Playboy match.
Confused
really?
Sexuality.
It's
but
not confused. You guys are confused. I know exactly what the F is up.
What is up?
I like them all, lady.
Well, here's the point. He dates smoking hot women to the point where you would like to kill yourself when you see the beautiful...
I have a 19-year-old girl right now. She's so hot. She's so sweet.
See the beautiful women
surprised.
That are on the
Jessica.
Arm. I'm not surprised either, but I am angry.
Wait, is Jessica here in the green room?
No.
With you?
She's in school. She has to be studying. In
high school?
No, goes to Cal State Long Beach. Class is in. Come take your studies like a woman.
Where did you meet her, Andy?
Study this. She was dating a friend of mine, and he dumped her, and I let her cry. On my groin.
It's a good lubricant.
I say tears better than Astroglide. I've said it many times.
But there complications set in when she, while we were dating, she did sleep with my son. who is 18, and it's more appropriate probably that they should be dating because I'm 40.
Right.
And it's probably more appropriate.
Now, how did you find out?
So I couldn't even get angry at it. I actually gave him a high five. Good for you. Good going.
And now you're dating
her? Good on you. No, I already was. Yeah, I know. Because it didn't bother me.
What?
Because it didn't bother me. I'm not a little pussy boy.
Are
like
you telling me that?
I don't care. She
Dr. Damashek from Beaver Creek didn't go through the same thing with his young son, David?
I mean, I offered my wife to him once, and he used her for a long weekend, and that was that. We'll never speak to him.
Well, Andy, so much to get to
his
with
mom.
Andy. Andy, how did this work? Let's focus for a second.
Part?
You know, you have a son. Now, you had kids early and you were married early.
Right.
And then you had a unique arrangement with your ex-wife, which is she, like, lived upstairs from you and you got to be near the kids and all that stuff. And you love your kids.
And I've known you through all this.
That's right. You love your kids very much. But how did it work out that your son got with your girlfriend? And then how did you find out about it?
Well, it's good questions. He was a dog. Mm-hmm. And called her up and said, come on over, my friend. Me and my friends want to come over and party on campus. Mm-hmm. So he showed up with no friends. Mm. They got drunk and slept in the dorm where I have slept. I have slept in her dorm.
It's got to be cool for the doormate.
Like,
I think that dude's from News Radio.
At night, I have to sneak into the women's bathroom if I have to pee. But anyhow, they wound up doing it. And then she called me immediately the next day crying. And admitting it, so
because
and
she
feeling
feared,
bad about it.
She feared you would find out, or you think
probably,
she just felt guilty?
But all of the above, and she didn't really like it, which
helps.
No, it also hurt because I want my son to be a good lover.
Yeah, you had to be torn.
It's such a
dichotomy. Because he's your boy.
It was crazy.
And did you then go confront your son?
Mm-hmm. I told him, "Don't you got to stop that right now, or you're going to get your ass kicked." Not by me, but I mean, like, you can't go around trying to get with other people's ladies. That's like a really bad habit. The only other guy in town that does that is Jeff Goldblum.
So you're saying potentially one day, hypothetically, he could nail somebody who a family member wasn't currently having sex with, and then there could be trouble.
Yeah.
I see.
It is bittersweet, though.
No,
it's like a basketball thing.
Yeah.
It's like when you play one-on-one basketball with your son. Like, you want him
Santini.
To beat you, but you also...
but you also want to kick his
you're
ass.
You're happy that you're better between the sheets
yes,
than
yes,
your son.
Yes. She did say, I kept thinking about you, and you're better and bigger. And I'm like,
really?
That's not good. That's good news, but it's not. I want my son to carry on the dick tradition.
She said you're bigger and better, and she was thinking about you while your son was on top of her?
Yes.
What is this Jessica's pathology?
I don't know.
You know.
Well, she's a keeper. I can tell you that, Andy. Hang on with both hands to this little jewel.
No, I'm not. I don't care.
Uh-huh. And do you have another son who could have sex with her?
Oh, he's 12 now, but I guess time, you know.
A year or so.
He's got...
Wow. And you and your son now, can you still hang out?
Yes. We hang out like we've spent 80% of our time together, actually.
It's not weird. There's no resentment there.
No, not at all.
How about this, though?
He won't do it again, though.
I know he's 18 and his hormones are raging and everything, but do you feel like since it was so premeditated, don't you take that as a little F.U. to Pops? The fact that he made the phone call, went over there, said he was bringing friends, had this planned out the day before.
No, it's not an FU because he's done this with other people's girls. He's got a thing. I nipped it in the butt. I was going to bring him today, but he was too tired. You could have just talked. You know what? Next time I'll bring him, you can ask him.
You're saying he was worn out from effing your girlfriend last night, so he couldn't make it in this morning?
No, he was worn out. We did Loveline last night, and Dr. Drew says hi, by the way.
Nice.
He misses
Maybe we could get the young man on the phone. Yeah. I think the only thing that's going to heal these wounds is a three-way.
There's no wound. You guys are the ones, once again, with an effing problem. I have no problem. Can we move on to something else?
Well, we can.
Something interesting?
Oh, this is interesting.
Please.
We can, but we'll have to move back to it soon because I'm infinitely interested in this.
I should never bring things up like
did
that.
Did you tell Dr. Drew this story? What did he have to say?
No, I didn't, actually. It didn't come up.
Drew would still be vomiting if he heard that.
There's many other... problems.
All right, Andy Dick, please remind me to get back to this. Andy has a movie coming out. We'll get to that. Also,
Employee of the Month.
Also, Jeff Ross, the king of the roast, is on the phone. Jeff?
Hey.
We called Jeff up because...
No, this is Andy's son.
Oh, wow.
Dad, how do you talk about this stuff?
Sorry, buddy.
This is messed up, man.
Well, look, you wouldn't come to family therapy with me. So I have to air out our dirty laundry somehow.
Maybe I had some ex-girlfriends of yours to bang, okay?
Hey, you know what? I'm going to spank your butt.
Come on over, Pops.
Funny, sounds like Jeff Ross.
Come on over, Pops. Yeah, you sound like Jeff Ross. This is not Lucas.
Imagine going through life as Andy Dick's son. Oh, my God.
I know. I tell him every day. I say, look, you got, it's going to be tough. There's going to be people that want to beat you up just because you're my son.
It's one thing to be in your shadow, but he was literally in...
My girl.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
You're nasty.
Yes,
like
a lot
you.
Of...
I'm glad I'm sitting next to you.
A lot of sons have walked a mile in dad's shoes, but not the one moccasin. Not the one. Not the one muckluck.
He's walked in his father's footsteps and so, underwear steps.
Jeff, we have a little clip of you and the Shatner roast, speaking of the lovely Andy Dick.
You guys are really being mean.
Let's hear that.
Back.
Oh, yes, you are.
Have mercy, Shatner. Hang up the hairpiece. Or at least set it free in the park before Andy Dick tries to f*** it. Andy Dick.
Oh, God.
What is it, Andy? You don't like that? After last year's roast, Andy Dick kissed my girlfriend's hand. 40 minutes later, she was dead. Andy Dick's sole mission in life is to give AIDS back to the monkeys.
True story, by the way.
You've researched it.
I didn't even have to write a joke for that one.
Jeff,
that was in the science.
That'll be on his tombstone. Andy Dick gave AIDS back to the monkeys. Rest in peace.
Thank you.
Jeff, you're going to be at the Brea Improv.
Next week, baby.
How's our little plan coming along?
Oh, it's going good, Andy. Andy wants me to take him on tour and roast him all over the country.
Ah, I like that. And plus,
that's a good idea.
Give your son more time to bang your girlfriend.
No, we're going to bring him and bang him on stage.
Jeff.
A human sacrifice.
Verbally.
Thank you for chiming
Jeff,
in this
good
morning
to hear your
and
voice.
Helping with the roast.
I have a theory, you know, about Andy Dick.
Oh,
I know you're worried about him, Adam, and you want to make this sort of an intervention. My theory is that Andy Dick doesn't do any drugs and doesn't drink. And this is, he's like the Foster Brooks of our time.
Interesting.
You know, because at the Shatner roast, he's
drugs
running around
like
licking
fox.
People, kissing George Takei, kissing, what's her face?
Farrah Fawcett.
Lieutenant Uhuru.
Mm-hmm. I heard he urinated backstage as well.
Yeah, well, everybody did. It's a roast, you know. They don't give you time to pee, so
right.
you do what you got to do. It's like being in the woods,
right?
But yeah, it's a roast. Anyway, Farrah Fawcett, Betty White peed right on stage. What's the difference? She had a diaper.
Yeah, and I just peed behind Betty White's bush.
And it grew.
All right, I feel like I need to gargle.
But wait, what was your
something?
Point? What was your point?
My theory is that, you know, everything's going on, Adam. The whole, you know, production, Andy Dick is making a spectacle of himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then when no one's looking, when the lights are off and it's a commercial break, Andy turns to me completely sober and goes, "You're great."
Mm-hmm.
You know, he knows what's going on. It's just a big play. It's just theater.
Mm-hmm.
The world is a stage.
Well, a lot of people, interesting, you brought up Foster Brooks. He's an old comedian who had a drunk act. He was not
he pretended
he was drunk. A lot of people say that about Jessica Simpson, that she's not as dumb as her character was on Newlyweds.
You just worked with her.
Right. She's not dumb.
She's not as good an actor as Andy Dick. Come on, Andy Dick can pull it off.
Well, we have a clip from the new movie. Maybe we should see if Jessica can act.
Employee of the Month.
That's right.
Let's hear it.
Yes, it has finally happened. One of the most beautiful women in the world lets down her hair and finds relaxation in a nudist camp. In the most amazing story ever shown on the screen. You can't afford to miss this thrilling and revealing motion picture. Never before has there been an opportunity to see a film such as this. See nature's carefree daughters in all their natural beauty. A nudist star is born.
Hmm. Well, maybe I will see this. I thought it was just you and Dane Cook pushing around a shopping cart for 2 hours. I didn't know there was nudity involved. I'm going to watch
There's
this.
No nudity.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
Hey, Andy, hang in there, baby. We're all rooting for you.
Love you, buddy.
Brea Improv, next week, Thursday through Sunday. Improv.com is where you go to find more
hang
about
in
that.
There, like
Jeff
I'm
Ross.
Like hanging by a thread.
Like you're the little kitten on the branch in the poster.
I hang until Friday, baby.
Let me say this about Andy Dick. Yes, nobody should feel sorry for Andy Dick. A beautiful
new woman.
Not
dying.
Every month. Tons of money.
Feel sorry for his son, who has a smaller wang, apparently, than his old man.
Yeah, she might have been saying that just to make me feel better, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
I hope.
Yes, just to recap, Andy's 18-year-old son had sex with his current girlfriend.
My 19-year-old girlfriend.
But you're willing to let bygones be bygones.
I didn't have a problem with it at all. Ever.
At all?
Never. Nope.
Now, I always wonder, and I pose this question to people listening, is Andy Dick insane for not caring, or is he the sanest of them all? Is he so adjusted that he's able just to move forward when these things would destroy most men? Yes, he's
maybe
insane.
He's
thank
in
you.
Acceptance, right?
Yeah, I really just don't care.
We need to take ourselves a break. Andy.
Yeah. I have a song about Jessica Simpson.
Oh you do?
Yeah.
Andy's songs are blue and wonderful. And you'll play for us when we come back? All right, Andy Dick in studio. We'll take a break. He'll be back banging away on his guitar after this.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Here's one from Andy Dick and the Bitches of the Century.
Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show. Thank you, yes. The bootleg tape I made, Andy Dick and the Bitches of the Century were at Knott's Berry Farm for years. It's been almost 2 years now, and I just smuggled a dad in.
It was that, not scary.
People were on their feet when he did all F anything that moves. I think it was out at Spillikin Corners. I don't remember where the venue was over there, but it was some awesome stuff.
No.
Andy Dick, not only an accomplished actor, but an accomplished museum. We'll get to the song in 1 second, but I'd just like to get back to your 19-year-old son effing your girlfriend for one moment here, because it's really hard to get past this. You mentioned also in passing, although we didn't pick up on it, Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
I know you're no fan of Jeff Goldblum.
No. That's water under the bridge.
He slept with your girlfriend at one point?
Water under the bridge.
He nailed her under a bridge? And I got to tell you, I don't want to open any wounds, Andy, but this one was particularly piping, smoking hot.
Water under the bridge.
When I said I used to get angry when I'd see the beautiful women that Andy Dick was with, this particular woman, 19, 20.
Lisa.
How did he get her away from you?
Beautiful blonde model.
I pushed her away. That's what I tend to do. I tend to push the ladies away.
Into the arms of Jeff Goldblum. It's just a Goldthwait. That's Bob
Goldthwait.
She's
married now to Madonna's guitar player and has a child.
Mm.
And I wish her all the luck in the world. God bless her.
Take this in the spirit in which it's intended, Andy.
It's never good. Mm.
But if I met a lady who was with Andy Dick for a number of years, I would have her boiled in alcohol. Literally boiled. Yes, it's hard to bring alcohol to a boil, but once it did hit its boiling point, I would have her dip it. And it would not just be dip in and popping out like a cold pool. She would be in there overnight. I would possibly then boil her in Beazle nut juice. Like Dr. Seuss has.
What about that stuff they put the combs in at the barber?
You ever think Dr. Seuss said to his old lady, how about a nice load of Beazle nut juice? I've been brewing a batch of Beazle nut juice for upwards of a month now, sweetie. Now, here we go.
So you would autoclave the lady before.
I would autoclave the lady before we then had our wedding. So you're over that, though, right, Andy?
Oh, yeah. We talk now.
That was a beautiful, beautiful woman.
She is one of the most beautiful women on the planet.
Mm. And you met
5 years we went out.
You met her when she was how old?
She was, I think, 18 or 19.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 25. It was during news radio. She was a PA. And she worked at Brillstein Gray. And
she was a model
as
well,
right? Her boss said, you can date anybody in Hollywood, just not Andy Dick. And that's he pretty much sealed the deal for me right there.
Yeah,
you know, you want what you can't have.
Right.
Mr. Bad Boy.
That's smart.
It was great. Thank you, Tony. His name was Tony.
It is. If you tell a hot 19-year-old, 18-year-old chick, date anyone you want but this guy, because he's a bad boy. He's trouble.
Yep.
Oh, man.
She was all mine for 5 years.
Well,
we really did have some good times, but we had some really, really bad times, too.
I miss her. Now, thankfully,
miss
I do. I live vicariously through Andy and his last name.
I should have brought my girl.
Every time I saw her, I think we're at Kathy Griffin's wedding together. You brought her to Loveline a few times, and I'd always, I didn't say anything, but I did that thing like they do in movies. I snapped a pencil silently. God damn it. So hot.
Is your latest 19-year-old Jessica as hot as Lisa was?
Honestly, not. I mean, but she's super, super, super hot. But
right, but nobody was that
she's
hot.
Not listening. Nobody is. I mean, and she still is.
Mm.
Every picture of her,
I'm still in love with her.
Yeah,
I really like her a lot. She left you for
Jeff Goldblum.
No, she did. Yeah. No. I pushed her away. I got her back after that.
I see.
I got her back, and then I just felt like she was tainted.
Yeah, anything he felt. And your son,
shut up.
Your son was only 6 at the time, so he only did oral with her.
Oh God, you're nasty. What happened to you? I'm mad.
All right, Andy. I'm sorry. You know what? I don't want to live in the past either.
No.
I want to look forward.
I'm bringing my son.
There's basil nut juice in your eye.
I'm looking forward to your Jessica Simpson song. Well, but first,
I am. Yes.
Yeah. Well, can you tell us first briefly your experience of her working with her?
Jessica Simpson's the sweetest. She's Texan.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So she's just a down home, not as dumb as she acts. Mm-hmm. Sweet, sweet, sweet girl.
And what about her relationship with Dane Cook? Did that happen or not?
I don't know what happened. Everybody talks about that. I never saw them sneak off together or arrive on the set at the same time or leave it at the same time. And I spent a lot of time with Dane. You know, we would go out to dinner with Harlan Williams. That guy is funny.
Oh, I know.
He is just one of the funniest guys.
He's
been on this show?
Yeah, he's been on a couple of times. Thanks for listening. And he is...
I don't get up this
way. They're guys... I just figured you'd stay up to this time, at least here till the 8 o'clock.
Hey, I'm not drinking, and can't you tell?
You do. You're very lucid.
Yeah, I'm not. It's been a while now because of the roast.
Mm.
That really took me down.
So you stopped
down and out.
You're off everything for a while.
Everything for at least through the end of the year.
That's nice. That's right.
I have to set goals, or
manageable.
I can't say forever, or I go crazy.
So you're saying
and I can't say just for a week,
right?
Because it's not long enough.
Employee of the month. You were. Where did you film that?
In Santa Fe and Albuquerque.
And that was you and Dane Cook and Jessica. And
Harlan Williams.
And Harlan Williams. And you guys all hung out, but you never saw Jessica and Dane go off together.
Never saw them. Now, I'm not saying that... You know what? I'll find out, and I will. I'll talk to Dane. I saw them all at the premiere, the Employee of the Month premiere, but I didn't get into it with them. It was too wild. Everybody was screaming. I'll ask them.
Let me suggest this.
I'll tell you.
If you're, in fact, carrying on with somebody you're working with...
Yeah.
Perhaps once in a while you should go out to lunch, because if you're never seen together, it seems suspicious.
Yeah.
It seems that people that are the same age, I'm sure Dane Cook and Jessica Simpson may be fans of each other, you would hang out.
Right.
If I was doing a movie for 3 months with Jessica Simpson, I would want to go out to lunch with her and not care who saw it. So maybe it's an indictment, maybe it's a guilty plea, the fact that they were never seen together.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll just ask.
You say you'll find out and call in.
Yeah, I'll call in and tell you.
Okay.
If it's okay, if they don't mind. I mean, everybody to know that she dated, and I didn't know that she dated John Mayer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I guess she was seen in public with him. I don't know. Maybe he's real private. Dane, you know, he doesn't drink at all.
I know.
That's why he's got his wits about
him. That's why we had to part ways. I found out he didn't drink, and I said, what happened? You backed over your nephew when you were loaded? No, I just don't like it.
He never drinks.
I lost respect for you then, man.
I
like people who drink, and then people that don't drink, I like it because they got 5 DUIs and took a swing at their parole officer and tried, you know.
Kathy Griffin also doesn't drink.
Yeah.
Well, she doesn't drink. Hasn't ever had a sip.
I think she's angry at me as
she's
well.
She's mad at Adam.
Oh, who cares?
Are you mad at her?
I've been mad at her. Currently, I'm not mad. I was mad at her for 2 years.
Why?
It's because she had a 45-minute set in her routine. In her set, there was like 45 minutes of just Andy Dick material.
Really?
That was really kind of private stuff that happened at her house. Mm-hmm. And that just upset me.
So you're saying there's the private side of Andy Dick.
There are some things that, you know, better left unsaid.
Right. Talk all you want about his son effing his current girlfriend or Jeff Goldblum banging his old girlfriend, but there's some things that are just off limits.
Yeah.
You cross the line, you cross the line.
What could you possibly
have done that's worse than the last 10 minutes on this show?
You know, and a lot of it was stuff that she was making up. Like what they do on The Roast when they talk about me having anal warts or AIDS. I've never had anal warts.
Right.
And I only have a little AIDS.
Right.
No, I don't have AIDS.
A splash of AIDS.
I have a dollop.
A dollop of AIDS.
A little dollop will do you.
Just a skosh.
A little drop will do you.
All right, let's hear the song.
Okay.
This is a song about Jessica Simpson.
It's for Jessica Simpson. I hope she hears it.
It's for her.
Yeah. A world premiere.
We just wrote it last night. Can you hear that guitar?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds good.
Jessica, Jessica, you had a thing for Nick Lachey. Jessica, Jessica, you didn't seem to mind that he was gay. Jessica, Jessica, I too have a little bit of gay in me. Jessica, Jessica, so I was thinking maybe we could drink beer, lay on my bed and drink more beer, show me your double D's, and I promise not to drink too much, pass out and pee through my jeans. That happens sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
When I drink, sometimes I drink too much. I resort back to being a little child, and I urinate in the bed. I've had to throw away like 5 mattresses because I just wet some, and I've wet a lot of my girlfriend. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It happens. Has it happened to you? Be honest.
I've had a dream that I was on the toilet while sleeping with a girl.
How would you remember?
I haven't wet the bed, yes.
I don't remember my dreams. I just wake up wet.
This, by the way, best part of his set over at Knott's Berry Farms when he's explaining about losing bladder control. Kids loved it. A lot of kids holding lighters.
Jessica, Jessica, I hope you appreciate the things I do. Jessica, Jessica, I left my 9-3 hab for you. Jessica, Jessica, let's sneak off and drink some wine. Jessica, Jessica, we could have a real good time and drink red wine. You get naked and we drink more wine. And I promise not to get too drunk, throw up in your pretty, 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 pretty blonde hair. Wow. I kind of messed up at the end.
That's all right. That was strong
stuff.
What did I
do wrong?
It was beautiful.
Did I mess up? Promise not to get you.
One time when
I know what I
Andy messed up, he blamed it on the guitar player and punched him in the middle of the song, and not a "hey, get with it" punch, and a vengeance type
really
punch.
Hard. That
really?
Was you. That was him. This is Tim Walsh. Say hi. We're done with the guitar.
Tim, nice work, buddy.
How you doing? Thanks.
He's the
always good.
Drunken Irishman. I got this guy sober. He was sober for how many years? 5 years.
5. Yeah.
5 years. I got him sober, and then I was sick of it. He was like, wouldn't not drink. He wouldn't drink. So I got him to drink.
Let
so
me
I
get
got
this straight.
Sober.
You were his sponsor.
I was his sponsor. and then he lasted longer sober than me, and it was driving me crazy. And I finally, after years of persistence, I got him to drink again. So he's drinking once again, and now I'm sober, and he's drinking and messing up.
What are friends for?
He's a pizza delivery boy out in Temecula.
Shout out to the pizza factory.
Now, has your son had sex with him, or is this?
Shut up! I don't
no, I'm asking. No. I want to know.
No.
Okay.
Tim's not gay.
Okay.
Tim Walsh. He's right. Irish.
And how about your son?
He's not gay at all either.
I thought the apple didn't fall too far from the tree.
I guess the gay thing, I think it's like every other, you know, it's like...
Skips
his,
a gene? Like
his, yeah, his kid.
And you have another son and a daughter as well, right?
Yeah, Jacob. Yeah, Meg.
You have three kids all together, and you had them young, like we talked about. What are their...
It was Jacob's birthday yesterday. He's 12.
What are their ages?
12 and 9.
Mm-hmm. And then 19.
Nine. And then
all right, Andy...
Two different mothers, remember.
Shocking. And he continued...
that it wasn't three.
Jessica.
Continued
Jessica,
success to you, Andy Dicker.
You had a
one of my favorites. Employee
Jessica
of the month, everybody.
Rock it out, Jessica. You're supposed to sing the Jessica part. You're supposed to sing
punch
it,
him.
Remember?
That's what you did.
How dare you!
Because the mic was down.
Tim, are you the one he punched five years ago on Love Line?
Yeah, remember that?
Yes, he hit you very hard. Drew was very
Jessica,
upset by it.
That's Jessica. You had a thing.
All right, I'm going to talk over this.
Jessica, go.
Okay.
Jessica.
We decided with all Johnny Knoxville coming in here and putting Perry Schmeckle in a mousetrap and all these stories that the topic, the phone-in topic, would be genital trauma. We had Dr. Alter in here who does sex reassignment surgery. Idea. And I just thought a lot of people have gotten kicked, fallen on sissy bars.
They
gotten,
really do focus on the groin a lot.
Gotten things.
Is that a mental problem?
I think it is, yeah, as far as society goes, or women as well. That's their focus. That's the bullseye, the man. That's the center. That's the 50 points. And then it just, as you get out to the outer rings, it's 5 points for a shoulder or an arm. It's like a bullseye.
Yeah.
Also, Bruska says he has his own story. He's worried that his wife was at work and wouldn't hear it. But now that she's safely at work, he's going to tell his own story of genital trauma, which
takes brass balls to sell.
Should be interesting. So, 866-901-ADAM. Andy, do you have a story?
A nutsack story?
Well, anything. Perhaps you got hit by a grapefruit.
I'll tell it right now. I got hit by a tennis ball by some guy hit. Well, I was picking them up behind the machine, and there was a machine.
The machine fired one into your groin?
No, the machine fired it at like a pro tennis guy, and he hit it right directly into my nutsack.
And those are 100 miles an hour plus if it's a pro.
I fell over. I thought that my nutsack had fallen off. That's how it felt.
And was yellow and fuzzy and called Wilson.
No, it already is yellow and fuzzy.
I understand. 866-901-ADAM. We'll do those stories after this.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show. And now, Oswaldo reads the 100 greatest movie quotes of all time. Number 40, from Forrest Gump.
Mama, always say life was like a box of chocolate. You never know what you are gonna get.
Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, a theme emerged. We didn't plan the show this way. We didn't think we were going to talk about genital trauma. But we had Dr. Gary Alter in the 6 o'clock hour talking about gender reassignment, plastic surgery, and other procedures down. Things that went on in the underpants in terms of plastic surgery. Then Andy Dick came in, and, well, then we did a replay of Johnny Knoxville doing the Windy City Heat guys and putting the mousetrap on Scary Perry's genitalia. So, hell, it's a theme now, and we're going with it. Our own Bruska, who said to me he would tell his own story of genital trauma as long as his wife was safely at her job and out of earshot of this story, is willing to share it with us, but we'll hear yours as well. 866-901-ADAM. For me, I spend the better part of most days trying to keep things away from my junk. You know what I mean? I have a friend or foe type situation. I see something sharp, something rusty, something blunt, and I say keep it away. But then I see one of Andy Dick's old girlfriends, and that falls under the friend category. That's the whole thing about the junk. It's a constant battle between things you want to get near your junk, perhaps on your junk, and those you want to keep millions of miles away from your junk. It's a very interesting dichotomy. For me, almost nothing falls in between. You're either in or you're out. Either I can't wait for you to be introduced to my junk, or I want you nowhere near it. There's not a lot of people where I feel like, or a lot of things where it's like, steel toe boot. Jury's still out on that. No. Keep
about
it away.
Vanilla pudding.
That's interesting. On the fence, but in. It made it in. Makes the cut.
Me too.
All right. Speaking of vanilla pudding, brisket.
Yes, this is a long time ago, about 6-7 years ago in New York. Long before I was dating my wife, let me say.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So I'm in New York with Kimmel and Cousin Sal and a few other guys and celebs and stuff at a bar just hanging out. And
what was the occasion? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
And when you
remember.
Say celebs, who do you mean?
Some of, you know, Kimmel's buddies and stuff, and there's some guys from Fox Sports, some announcers and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, and then, of course, there was a crowd of, there's some groupies and stuff looking to, you know, meet the likes of the Kimmels of the world and the Sals of the world. And they wanted nothing to do with them. But me, right. I was a single guy. I was like, this is awesome. You know, these girls mm-hmm. are hanging around. So I weaseled in, and to make a long story short, I did pretty well. I was rapping with some young lady, took her back to the hotel. Things were going great. I don't want to get too graphic, but I started grinding this woman before, you know, with a little foreplay. I was in the whole room. Started
you had your clothes on.
I had my clothes on, started grinding this woman.
Why wouldn't your wife like this? I'm confused.
Long before I was dating my wife.
Anyway, you were grinding.
I was grinding. And I was so horny, I don't know what was going on. But anyway,
Let me just picture this. I'm trying to picture Brisket with a couple of beers in him, wearing his Dockers, belt cinched up tight, and his glasses fogged up, just grinding, trying to take the skin off the woman's shin with his groin.
Synthetic fibers causing a fire.
I'm hilarious.
So you're grinding,
so I'm
yes.
grinding, and things are going well, and then, you know, I proceed to do the act, and I feel this pain near my schmappy, and or on my schmappy. Yes. And so I completely stopped, and I was like, what the hell's going on? I looked down, and my schmappy is bleeding. Mm. Bleeding from the grinding, from the zipper. Apparently, I was grinding. Oh. And, you know, when you're aroused, you don't really feel things. All you feel is pleasure.
Yes.
But then when I started doing the act, it was painful. And there was blood. And it was now there's a scar, a small scar, but it was much bigger back then on my schmappy. Very, very small.
Shaped like a zipper.
Well, and then Kimmel, you know, told Kimmel the story, of course, the next day, whatever. And they gave me the nickname Cabbage. And starts with a C, rhymes with block.
Ah.
And here's the thing, too, about pain, because a lot of guys have had this where you see your buddy in his knees look like he fell off a moped when he was wearing shorts. You're like, what happened? He's like, well, carpet is going at it, doggy, and I didn't even. And you're like, well, I can see your kneecaps now. You've worn the skin off. Yeah, I didn't feel a thing at the time. This is the equivalent to the moms. Now, what women have, they don't have this strength in bed. They have, you know, when they talk about the mother who has the strength to lift the station wagon because her child is trapped under it, we don't have that. I couldn't lift the station wagon if my twins, but what I do have is the ability to ignore all pain once the erection is in full effect, and that's what happened with Brisket.
That's
you felt nothing, even though, now, if some...
It
if
was
you,
awesome at the time, and then all of a sudden it was from pleasure to pain real quick.
And if there was no female in the room and you were just sitting alone and someone was inflicting this trauma upon your phallus, you would feel it immediately, right?
Absolutely. Oh, one other detail I forgot, and by the way, Kimmel's on the line, I guess. Uh-oh. I have to chime in. One other detail is, the girl was so angry, she was so into doing it, she was so mad. I mean, she was yelling and screaming. She got really mad, and that's basically
Wait,
that.
Can I ask something, and at the risk of being indelicate, and I know Kimmel's waiting, but did you finish with your pants on?
No, I hardly started.
Oh, really? Didn't finish?
I did not.
All right. Would have been like Thousand Island. Jimmy?
This is one of the great... It was a great night because it really was almost 4 in the morning. And I think Carson Daly was there.
Mm.
And I think, a couple... We were there for a football game, I think. And this girl was waiting in a bar while her friend, her roommate, and she lived in a one-bedroom place, or studio place, while her roommate was having sex with another guy.
Mm.
That's right.
So she literally had no place to go. She was kind of just like hanging out in the bar, and 4 a.m. was approaching, and she knew that it was too soon to go back. And Brisket, in a very surprisingly suave fashion, just kind of scooped her up and took her back to his hotel room. And then the description of it really was like making coleslaw. That's why we call them cabbage. It was like turning cabbage into coleslaw.
But the mayonnaise never happened.
No, totally without tomato. Yeah, it was great. I really was impressed by Brusca, and then also just amazed that he could, I mean, get to the point of bleeding through his pants and not even notice it until it was too late.
Well, he's a dynamo and a passionate man, as I've said many times.
Yeah, ask him about the time he made mashed potatoes in his pants.
How'd that go,
Brusca?
I just made that up. Oh.
Jimmy, any groin trauma stories you'd like to share with us while we have you on the line?
I've had a million of them. You remember, I've had to have several operations on my penis.
Oh, yes. What? I was actually with Jimmy when we visited Dr. Drew.
You guys just had a penis reduction surgery.
He actually...
it was hurting my back.
Right. It's uncomfortable.
He was getting deep underpants groove straps on his ass from holding his tremendous basket up. Dr. Drew actually had to put a kebab...
No, Dr. Drew didn't put the... Dr. Drew misdiagnosed me, and then I had to go to a
then you almost died,
to,
that's right.
Yeah, and I went to the specialist who put a series of graduating rods. I mean, it looked like a metal chopstick is really what it looked like. And they each one got bigger, and it was very cold, too. You think they could warm those things up a little bit.
Yeah.
They put these very cold metal rods to try to widen the urethra. Which I used to be able to, I don't even remember this, but if we go to a game or something, I could stand like 30 feet from the toilet and pee into it.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Those were the days.
Your urethra was too wide.
No, it was too small. It was too small.
They stretched it.
They had to yoke it out.
Yeah. My cousin Sal had the same thing when he was a kid. It's like, we come from a long line of people with tiny urethras. But I had to have it widened because it was kind of closing up on me, and you don't want that.
Right on the Kimmel family crest is a penis with a stenosis of the urethra. It's a little hard to make out, but it looks awesome on a blazer.
It sounds incredibly painful, that procedure.
It was. It was terrible. And then about 4 years later, I had to have not one, but two operations. The first one was unsuccessful, and it healed back up, and then I had to have it done again.
So your urethra is like a rubber band, right? You could stretch it?
No, it's just the hole. It's just the hole in the top of the, you know, the penis.
Well, I'm no gynecologist, but obviously it can get big enough to fit a child's head through it. I wasn't a biology student. I didn't study much, but I do know that much. So obviously it can grow and shrink. Jimmy, thank you for verifying the brusket humiliating story.
Yeah, I think you should call him Cabbage. I mean, there's got to be a way you can say that word. And it's, I mean, it is about a rooster, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, Cabbage. Yes, there's alliteration. Cabbage.
Yeah.
C with the rooster.
Or just call him Babbage Bach or something like that, you know?
People will do the math. So, Jimmy, you're coming in tomorrow to help us decide on the Outbook August and September who's going to win the 10 grand, right?
Yeah, me and the 72-year-old meth head, yes.
All right. Oops, I hung up on him. The great Jimmy Kimmel. Oh, wait, why don't I give him a plug? Who's on tonight, Jimmy?
That's a really good question, Adam, and I wish...
Hold on. I always look it up when you call, but never quite in time.
Well, I'll give you an option. Is it... I know you don't know specifically who's going to be on the show tonight. A-list celebrity or A-plus list
Anthony
celebrity?
Anthony Anderson. And Ludacris.
Evangeline Lilly from Lost. Anthony Anderson and Ludacris.
Good bookings.
And speaking of Ludacris, he's calling in our show in about 10 minutes.
All right. Well, perhaps his joint got smashed in a bench vice.
Yeah, ask him about his penis.
Thanks, Jimmy.
All right. Take care.
We have a guy here, Steve, on line 6, who got hit and passed out because he was hit so hard in the groin. Steve?
Hey, Adam. How's it going?
Good. Tell us your story.
Well, here it goes. I was younger. I was around 12, so I was going through puberty and all that. But I was wearing the basketball shorts, laying down on the couch, watching TV. And my little brother just decides to walk up with this old-fashioned wooden brush, those old ones, and just slammed it through it, right point blank, right in my groin area. And it, like you said, it hit the soft spot, and I instantly just started sweating. I went in this hot flashes, and I started spinning around. I never got hit like that before, and I threw up.
Sorry for
all
laughing.
Over the place. And my mom was there, and it's something weird about like women. They don't understand like when men get hit in the nuts.
Yeah,
they try to act concerned, but they have no idea. And I'm spinning around. I'm sweating, and I pass out. In the living room.
Well, as I said earlier, for guys, there's the nuts, and then there's the nuts. My nuts have nuts. There's a sweet spot. You can kick them. Sometimes I feel nothing, or you could hit my nuts in their nuts, and in which case I may pass out. Well, that's good.
Yeah, I think it hit my nuts as nuts.
Did you kick the living holy crap out of your brother?
No, well, the thing is, I was incapacitated for about 15 minutes. I was sweating. I was the hot flow. I never felt like that before, and it never happened again, thank God. But, okay.
Well, this is why I sleep on my stomach. I'm so concerned with what might happen to my genitalia while I'm unconscious that I've learned to sleep on my belly.
Well, think about it. That's a very important part. I mean, your entire brain's purpose is to keep that stuff safe.
Mm-hmm.
So you would, you know, hide it.
Thank you. Ben?
Protect it.
Ben?
Hi there. Thanks for having me on the show.
You're a firefighter?
I am, but that's not what I was doing yesterday when I was cutting down a tree and using a chainsaw. The chain came off the bar and hit me right in the balls.
So the chain on the chainsaw, which is traveling around at 5,000 RPMs or whatever it is, came loose, swung around, and was essentially like swinging a chain at your sack.
I just gave it a shot right back again. Got a couple welts there now.
Yeah, that's tough. And then the tough part is always the part of, do you go to a doctor because of it? Because
I didn't need to. Just knocked me to my knees. I checked myself. There's just a couple nicks, so it wasn't really that bad. But
right. But
yeah.
If it hits you in the eye, you'd go to a doctor. There's a shame factor involved in the groin that makes you not want to have the old dude examine it 4 hours from now when you get into the emergency room. Yes, Ben?
Well, yeah, that was kind of a pride thing, you know. And why do you want to go to the doctor and tell them about getting hit in the balls with the chainsaw, you know?
No, I agree. All right, chainsaw. Powerful. John?
Hey, what's going on, you guys?
What's happening, John?
No noise, man. You guys are making a lot of people very happy. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
All right, well, laughter is the best medicine. Listen, I have a trauma of a different sort. Mm. I was in seventh grade at David Starr Jordan Middle School in Burbank, right next to your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And one day in gym class, a new student came in, and it was the first black kid in our school. And mm-hmm. he stood a head taller, and he had those... Sorry, guys. I barely have fuzz on my nuts. I'm a skinny little white guy, and here's this big black dude stands a head taller right next to me.
Yes.
And I look over, and what do you think I see? Because we're both just get out of the shower, and I've never seen a black man's penis in my life. And anyway, he looks over at me and
goes... Still sounds traumatized.
Yeah, there is no racial bigotry here.
Well, he looks down at me, literally, and he says, "Don't worry, little brother. One day you'll get it." And I'm like, you know what? I don't know if I've been insulted or, you know.
I think you were.
I wish you weren't a liar.
Did he mean you'd
but
get
you know
it?
What? His name was Asa, and he was right, because I finally came into my own. So
all right, he sounds nuts.
This is but damn exciting.
It did remind
stuff.
Me of something. This is an unintended dividend or negative dividend from the mandatory busing that went on from the inner city schools over to the white suburbs. I had to go through this myself. Before, we were just competing against everyone else's pink little white schmeckles. Then we bring in these guys from the inner city. Now, the guys on the football team are, of course, traumatized. We have to go into the group shower. There should be a class action lawsuit against the L.A. Unified School District for doing this, because you're very impressionable at 15, 16 years of age. And to see this at that age, I wanted to kill myself.
Ruined. Yes.
And it's all relative. I got to tell you, once me and Kimmel played in some sort of celebrity baseball game, and after the game, everyone just piled into the shower, the same showers that the team used. And Jimmy and I stood next to the black guy from Major League. The bald guy.
Serrano.
And how was that?
I don't recommend it.
Really?
I do not recommend it because everything is relative. You know, when you get yourself a new convertible, a little Miata, and you're very proud of it, and then you pull up next to a brand new Bentley, and all of a sudden you want to kill yourself.
How'd things work out between you and Kimmel, though? Who came out on top there?
Kimmel... But beside the difficulty he's had with his urethra, is doing quite well.
Small urethra, but big.
Yes.
So you're not putting yourself down. You're just saying you're really admiring Kimmel.
I'm giving a tip of the jock to Kimmel. Kimmel's is just fine downstairs. And also has what I like to call a good gym D. I call it a gym D. It looks good at the gym. There's some guys, once they get a little blood flowing, it turns into a totally different creature.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's like one of those tables that you added a bunch of leaves to or something. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And then there are other guys who look good around the gym. They look good when they're flaccid, and then when they get erect, it doesn't change much. So it's unclear whether Kimmel has a good JD, or I mean GD, or Jim, I don't know if we're allowed to say, or if it just gets that much bigger when he's in the throes of passion.
You know what happens. You more than anybody.
It feels girthy, that's all I got to say. All right, where were we? Should we take ourselves a break? Yes, Ludacris is going to be calling in the show. I'd like to speak to him. Imagine he's doing okay as well downstairs. Oh, well, we got to go, but I must say Patrick got frostbite on his wiener.
Oh, no.
One more quick.
This other guy got it smashed by a toilet seat.
Oh.
All right, real quick with the frostbite story. Patrick?
Yes, sir.
You got frostbite on your peepee.
Blue balls.
He had sex with Ann Coulter.
It actually happened. I called yesterday about the jackass story, and I was the guy who jumped out the window into the snow
right.
and get naked and do it.
Yes.
But there was one time where me and a friend really needed the money bad that we'd win from it, and so we just kept on going naked. And the end result was when I finally won, we got back in the warmth, and I felt like needles were poking into my junk. And I ended up going to the emergency room, and I had acute frostbite on my on both.
Must have been nice, too, when they said, what happened? Your plane crashed into the mountain range and you're forced to live off of... No. Oh, I know. You got caught by a flash blizzard when you were driving. No. I was getting naked with a J.O. buddy of mine and we're diving into the snow. We did it so many times. We're pretty loaded and high, but yeah.
It was actually an Army doctor, so as soon as me and him went to the doctors and told them what was wrong with us, they knew instantaneously we were doing something stupid, and so they didn't even ask.
Right. I like that. All right, we need to take a break, but thank you for your candor, Patrick.
Thank you.
We'll take a quick break. Ludacris on the show after this.
Heads up! Here's another one.
The Adam Carolla Show welcomes Ludacris.
Another one. Why you all in my ear talking a whole bunch of this shit I ain't trying to hear? Get back, motherfucker. You don't know me like that. Get back, motherfucker. You don't know me like that.
Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Ludacris, how are you?
What's going on, boy?
Good to speak to you.
I mean, good to speak to you, too. It's been quite some time, man. It's an honor.
It's an honor.
It's an honor to be on this show.
Why are you honored to be on my show, Ludacris?
Because, man, you're one of the only dudes that is really actually, you know, just off the top funny. I'll be real. I do interviews all the time, and I just can't take it, man. It's like, you know, it feels natural. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I've known you forever. Like, we kick back, drink beers, and watch the game together. The man show, you know.
Well, you know what, Ludacris? Speaking of kicking back, drinking beers, and watching the game, you know Jimmy Kimmel. You've done his show a few times.
Oh, definitely.
You should come over to his house on Sunday. He has 17 televisions. He has a brick pizza oven. He never stops cooking, and he has a keg of Heineken.
That is what's up. And you know what? Only because this is the week of my album release, I will not be able to make it this Sunday, but I will take you up on that offer. And I'm actually supposed to be going to see Jimmy today, and I'm going to make sure I tell him that because he never told me, and I'm going to have to get him for it.
Well, he's racist, and he doesn't like the blacks.
That's what I was thinking.
But I enjoy them. So I feel like I should invite you on behalf of me.
Affirmative action is the only reason I was able to get on his show in the first place.
That's right.
You know, we can work that out.
Release Therapy, name of the CD, out this week. And
exactly.
I got to tell you, he is a triple threat, this Ludacris. Of course, Crash, Hustle, and Flow. I know him from Too Fast, Too Furious.
And there you have it.
That's the way I roll. But movies, music, and every time somebody asks you, I'm sure you have the same thing where someone says, what do you like more? And you just say they're different. But which do you like more? Or is it still just a stupid question?
No, I mean, I can understand why people would like to ask me that. But, you know, not even trying to be political. It's just that I'm still kind of new to the movies, and it's like I've been doing music all of my life, so it's, like, hard to compare those two. You know what I'm saying? It's like if I've been doing both the same amount of time, I would be able to tell you. But I see myself moving out of music soon and more into movies. So with that being said, I feel like I've gotten a lot of music out of my system. Now, if you were to ask me that, you know, 6 years ago, I would say music.
Well, I think, and this is the way guys are, I don't know if women are constructed this way, and unfortunately, this is why so many guys cheat.
Right.
Which is, after doing five movies, you're dying to do a CD, and after being in the studio for a year, you're dying to do a movie. This is why marriages don't last.
That is exactly right.
After
man.
Doing,
you put the you, man, you hit the nail on the head. That's going to be my answer from now on.
Well, the variety part. I mean, that's how it goes. That's why you want to eat at a different restaurant every night. And
exactly.
So I would imagine, like I said, if you're just doing a bunch of movies, your answer would be you'd like to do some music, and now you're doing the music. So what is going on? I'm curious how you got started, where you come from, and what your backstory is.
Yeah, man. I mean, I've been basically rapping since I was about 9 years old. And, you know, I've been through everything. Talent showcases, open mic contests, demo tapes, groups, everything. So when I know you heard about the radio story. I kind of, when I was about 18 years old, went up to a radio station in Atlanta. And I knew it was going to be a means to an end for me because so many producers and artists come up there. So I've been, you know, rapping and gave people my demo tapes, but I got a job up there. Made people think I wanted to be on the radio, but in actuality, it was behind the scenes trying to get a deal.
Mm-hmm.
It took me about a good 3 or 4 years, and I met the right people because, you know, it's not all about what you know sometimes, but who you know. Saved up enough money and put out my own independent project, and here birthed Ludacris, and there you have it.
So you knew what you wanted to do.
Always,
but how about the acting part of your career? Did you always want to do that?
The acting part of my career, I never really, you know, I loved movies, but I never really did. I didn't know, you know. So when John Singleton, a man who has taken, you know, so many different people from the entertainment music world and put them in movies, he did that for me on Too Fast, Too Furious, and I liked it, and I had a good, you know, good time, and people were saying that they loved the part, and I just continued. So then came Crash and Hustle and Flow, and from there, man, you know, it just like, all the acclaim and the Academy Award and just the nominations just came, and it was a beautiful thing.
Yeah, I was enjoying seeing you at the Academy Awards, thinking this must be a surreal feeling for you.
Yeah, man. It was definitely surreal, only because I was so young, and it's like I never even, you know, I dreamt of doing that before, but not so early, and it's just, I'm blessed to have been able to cross over so quick, because it's very hard for rappers to be respected in Hollywood. So,
yeah.
You know, I just had to focus and put my all to what I was doing, especially in Crash. You know, I wasn't going up against Don Cheadle and Sandra Bullock and Terrence Howard and not deliver. So the pressure was on, but I'm good under pressure.
Well, I think you're what they call a natural. I, just to give you a little insight of where I am emotionally, I've not seen the Godfather trilogy. I've not seen all the Godfathers. I have seen the trilogy of Fast and Furious. I've seen Fast and Furious, Too Fast, and the other week on pay-per-view, watch Tokyo Drift.
Right.
So that's where I'm at.
It's all good, man.
So what's the deal? The CD is out and you go out on tour?
You know what? We're getting a tour together now, but what's most important is just because of all the acclaim that you're saying I've been given from being an actor, I had to come back to the music and let people know I'm still serious about it. So 2 days ago, my fifth album dropped. It's called Release Therapy. And I feel like everybody's in some sort of struggle in the world of today, and we all need some sort of therapy, man, and to release. And, you know, that's what this album is all about, because music is like an escape for certain people, man. It frees the soul from imprisonment. That's how powerful this album is, Adam. I'm trying to tell people they need to go to the record store and go get it, and you are the powerful man that can tip the scale. Because me and Janet are hand in hand right now.
All right. Well, go to the record store and go get Release Therapy, Ludacris' new CD. And look, it's like saying you think this guy, you think Jordan's good at golf. You ought to see him on the basketball court. You're used to seeing Ludacris now acting. Well,
exactly.
He's back on his hardwood now.
Yes,
his wood is very hard.
My brick wood oven.
Go over to Kimmel's and have some pizza with us. Not this weekend, of course.
It's going to happen.
But the following weekend.
Ludacris, who's your team in football?
My team? Falcons, man. I'm from Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Oh, sorry about last week. Monday night, that is. But Hey, man, it couldn't have been a better story.
That didn't happen. It was you were dreaming.
That's right. All right, Ludacris, come see us in studio, please,
man,
when you're
in
town.
Thanks for the invite, and thanks for having me on your show, man. I definitely appreciate it. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Ludacris, everybody.
He loves you, Adam.
Well, he's just being polite.
That is nice. It's weird that he has a similar background to Bruska. Like, he said he starred in radio and pretended he was interested in radio, but really wanted a rap career. That's Bruska's story. DJ Cabbage Clock.
They say he still drives his 1992 Acura Legend, which I didn't get to ask him if he still does, but on Football Sunday, you can ask him.
We need to take a break. Jack Silver's going to be excited because finally, after all the Schmeckle talk, we got some Adam and Eve porn stars coming in here. I know, Jack, you all right with that?
Fan-freaking-tastic, Ace Man!
I know, you're all about the boobies. That's your mantra.
Open up the soup cooler and make with the boobs!
I understand. We'll bring the ladies in. We have a little surprise for you guys, but I don't want to give it away on the air, so we'll talk to them after this.
Here's another line you'll never hear in a porno with Playboy TV's Jesse Jane.
Pick up your socks, Stanley. We've got company coming over.
Someone needs a spanking. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, as promised, finally, with all the junk talk we've had over the last 3 hours, some beautiful women. Tyler Faith is here. Ava Rose is here as well. Both adult film stars, yes?
Yes.
Ava, you're Adam and Eve contract player, right?
Indeed.
Tyler, you're not.
I am not.
You've done, though, 250 adult films?
Yes, I've been very busy.
And you've been working recently with a friend of ours, Yergi.
Jesus. Yes,
he's a Romanian porn producer.
Yes.
He's big. I think he's trying to break in here in the States.
That's what I heard. That's
what he said. He's a friend of the show. He said he'd worked with you guys. He was trying to get to do a movie with you guys. He's here today.
Jurassic Park sequel.
Oh, there he can't is. Help but laugh. Yergi, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Yergi, you work with Tyler and Ava. They're both beautiful girls.
They are hot, very hot.
You worked with them on a new project that is...
Yes, Adam, it's a whole new deal, okay? Mm-hmm. I want to take porn to next level, mm-hmm. so I bring big-budget Hollywood special effect to mm-hmm. the business of porn. Mm-hmm. So I did test with these girls, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, the idea was they were having two-way, mm-hmm. okay, girl-girl.
You guys were getting it on with each other.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I believe Ava was pleasuring Tyler with her tongue.
Oh, she's using her tongue.
Yes.
Okay.
But it's not as good as a dinosaur's tongue.
And fingers. Well,
mm-hmm. That's the thing. So I tell them I'm going to add computer-generated character to make it three-way. Mm-hmm. So Ava must pretend.
So you're going to add a dude.
Not a dude.
This a monster.
A creature.
A creature.
Yes. A dinosaur.
You're going to add a dinosaur, so it would be a three-way between Tyler, Ava, and a dinosaur?
And the beast will mount me, right?
The beast will mount you.
Yeah. Oh,
that's what that's what it sounds like.
Well, but you're playing special effect, you know, sound effect like it's joke, but this is dead serious.
I'm sorry. Okay. Didn't mean to make light of the dinosaur here, humping the two
way
porn
I figure,
stars.
Kids love dinosaurs, mm-hmm. so this is going to be huge.
But yes,
I feel like there may be a little cultural difference here. Out here, we don't think it's okay for the children to watch pornography.
Well, it's like Flintstones, though. When Dino comes to front door, we now front door's in on sex with Dino.
I see. Again, I know kids love dinosaurs. I'm not sure. The whole thing is like, I don't want to see a chick getting it with a fruit roll-up so my kid will enjoy it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, boy.
I don't get it.
Okay, well, look. Do you have the movie?
I have some clips.
Do you have some clips?
Yes.
When did you shoot this movie?
This we shot several weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And the thing is, Ava did not really share my vision. She got a little freaked out.
I wasn't sure if a peach can would fit.
Ava, it must have been tough taking direction from Yergi because of the language barrier, and the dinosaur wasn't in the room, right?
Exactly.
Thank God.
It was just like, I wasn't feeling the whole...
Well, it's like when they make Lord of Rings or Matrix, we do it in post production. We add
I needed hairy feet,
You needed a way to act without
to
the
it.
Other performer in the room. You've never done a porn movie where the person was added later on, have you?
No, that's kind of a jip, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, unless you're working with Ron Jeremy, and then it's what's called a blessing.
Yeah. No, God.
Well, we should say
you guys call it a mitzvah, I believe.
Yes. Ava is a very petite girl with dark, dark black hair and dimples, and she's cute as a button.
Yes.
Oh. And Tyler, a blonde, and also very beautiful and buxom.
So, Jurgi, you're going to show Ava the movie now, finished product, yes. Now that you've added the dinosaur.
Yes.
You've not seen this.
Adam, I wish you could see this, too. You're on the other side of the desk.
Well, I saw the cut of it without the dinosaur.
Well, we added the dinosaur.
I see. Ava was confused. She wasn't taking direction. Like,
this is it.
Dinosaur okay. Dinosaur, always big box office.
Like a big one?
This one like Stegosaurus. You know, like... The kind of
I'm
like confused. It sounds crazy, but believe me, it'd be hot. But it's true, they're cold-blooded. But I think the recent research shows that they might have been...
Look at us, I'm like, what is going on?
Here's the key. Don't overthink it.
I tried.
Well, that was me telling her about
right,
it.
Right, I could hear your voice off camera directing them, but Ava, I just...
It's mainly not so long. It's
this is me describing his penis.
Why?
Dinosaur,
it's why.
Like peach skin.
Like can of peaches.
With the scales.
It's scaly.
It's scaly.
Oh, jeez.
But here is the finished result now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Look at this.
Oh,
okay.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
Not like great. This is taking
me. I got to see this. I'm sorry. I have to get up and see this.
That is disturbing.
That is very disturbing.
Will this be available on our website?
So I imagine more of a T-Rex, but it's a Stegosaurus.
Stegosaurus is most erotic dinosaur.
Yes, because it's scaly.
It has a protuberance on tail.
A what? Oh, okay,
100%.
Now, Ava, you're upset now.
That's
right.
Oh, my God.
That's
like
a
great beast mistaking
you. Some pornos have Tara Patrick.
Adam,
this says Tara Daniel.
Maybe you can use your talents with words to describe what they've done.
I don't think you can.
Well... As you brought it up earlier. All right, let's pop that down, please.
Oh, my
please.
God.
I'm going to explode. I'm so hot.
Oh, jeez.
I got to tell you, you brought up Lord of the Rings, Star Wars. These movies have nothing on this film. What's it called, by the way?
It's called The Dinosaur-ass.
Oh, I see, because he's getting her from behind.
Yeah. I was guessing Jurassic Park.
Ava,
it's not a pig, it's a dinosaur.
Ava, you seem confused and upset during the taping of this.
I was not.
Uh-oh.
I didn't say it.
Yeah, you said half the F word, but that's good enough for the FCC.
You were upset that you weren't actually having sex.
Well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird to think of a beast or like an animal.
I was getting frustrated because I was like, does he know this is bestiality in a way?
Ava confided with me off the air. She said as an actress, she couldn't find her implicit cue. And right. I think Jurgi said, just relax and have fun with
it
out there.
That's what
I kept saying, don't overthink it.
Right. So, Jurgi, this will be out on the video shelves soon, but do you have any other titles you'd like to plug while you're in here?
Of course I do. We've got Bavarian Cream, number 18.
Oh, okay.
Sloppy Serbians, 23.
These are all from your home country.
From my home country, yes.
What's Sloppy Serbians?
Sloppy Serbians. We feature a hot new Serbian cast.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
nice.
They're very sloppy,
Serbians.
Though. They don't wash.
Gotcha.
But some guys into that.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. That's cool.
Then there's like Check My Box, number 80.
Oh, Check, like
that's
the Czech Republic.
Right out of Prague. Yes. Yeah.
And finally, another historical epic, All Cornholing on Western Front. Okay.
So,
but listen, very excited about the movie. I got time on Romania's computer, you know, to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because usually the Romanian computer is usually tied up keeping tabs on this slave trade.
Quite an achievement. Congratulations to everybody involved with it.
It is
Adam,
epic.
Describe how good these special effects are.
It's going to be a hit.
I thought a dinosaur was actually having sex with you. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it.
And it doesn't look at all like a small plastic toy dinosaur.
No.
Superimposed.
No, it most definitely does not.
A level beyond
Jurassic
Park.
In fact, I'm going to tell the truth. I did not have access to computer.
Oh, really?
Yes. The computer was broken, so I simply superimposed cheap plastic dinosaur.
Yeah, as long as we're being honest, okay. It made Land of the Lost look like a $300 million epic film.
Thank you, Adam.
Yeah, it was horrible, but yet...
You could have sold your gold chain. He's
complimenting
you.
Yet still arousing.
Yeah, well... Yeah. Yeah,
all right.
Hey, listen.
Well, Yergi, I'll tell you what. You should go get yourself a Mac with Final Cut Pro and work with the ladies again, because I feel like there's a great film in you.
Yeah.
I think there is one. And, you know, hey, listen. In Romania, I'm like Orson Welles, okay? In fact, I did a version of Citizen Kane. It's a vagina.
We did the math,
I have
Yergi.
To explain.
We did it. Yes. We did it, Yergi.
The audience is not always so bright.
I understand. Tyler Faith, I want to thank you very much for coming in. You can find Tyler doing some internet radio.
Yes.
KSEX.com is where you're going to find her.
Adam, can I make history?
Sure.
That's all. Small request. Mm-hmm. Just want to make history right now. I want these girls to do first porno with Ted.
Wow. Big Ted. How about it?
Ooh. Wow. See that guy
I want
with
these
hat?
Girls to be in Ted's first porno.
It's been a long time for a dinosaur.
It's going to be.
It's been even longer for Ted, believe me, with a
it's
woman.
Going to take better special effects to make these girls not puke when they're having sex with Ted.
You girls
up
for
it?
But you're in it, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
I'm going to be in it. I'm going to be hoisting Tad with forklift.
He'll be working the cherry picker to get big Tad on top of you.
Operator, swinging his massive body back and forth.
All right, I'm going to vomit. We're running late. Tyler, thank you. Ava, you can go to adamandeve.com, find out more information, or avarose@xxx.com. You guys are truly doing the Lord's work. Yergi, you're an artist. You're a visionary. What else can I say?
Well, listen, kids love dinosaurs.
What's in the news coming up, T?
Well, there's finally an answer on what killed Anna Nicole Smith's son, and also the crocodile hunter's wife speaks out for the first time.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with that after this.
There's more Adam Carolla coming up.
The Adam Carolla Show, eh? Closer.
The Adam Carolla Show. Here's what's coming up tomorrow morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
What up, players? It's your homeboy, Black Jack Silver. Hell of a show for you tomorrow. Jesse Jane from Playboy TV, finally. A little boob streak. Funny man, Harlan Williams, and someone's going to win $10,000, and God willing, Mike August job and our Outbook August competition. It's going to be hot. Bye.
Thanks, Jack. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, Perez Hilton, queen of the gossip scene, is coming up shortly. But first, the news with Teresa Strasser.
Well, we finally seem to have some sort of explanation as to what killed Anna Nicole Smith's son, Daniel, only 20 years old. He died in the Bahamas. Last night, a pathologist named Dr. Cyril Wecht went on Larry King Live, and here is what he had to say about the death of Daniel.
He died tragically, and I believe quite accidentally, as a result of the cumulative effect of three brain depressant drugs, methadone, Zoloft, and Lexapro. We knew about Lexapro. Methadone and Zoloft come as a big surprise to Ann Nicole, to Howard Stern, to the attorneys, to everybody. And at this point, I do not know the source.
They don't know where he got, though. Now, obviously, those are legal drugs, but we don't know if he was prescribed those drugs, and obviously, he shouldn't have been mixing them.
They also don't know whose kid it is, right?
Well, here's the thing. Her lawyer, Howard K. Stern, has come out and said that he's the father of the new baby. I think her name is Danny Lynn Hope. And this other guy, Larry Burkhead, who's a photographer in town, is saying that he's the father. And actually, our own PA, Duran, is trying to get Larry Burkhead for tomorrow. So we may have him on the show tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, made me a little nervous when Stern was on Larry King and they were asking about taking a DNA test and he was
dodgy,
indignant about it.
Yeah.
Why should I give them the satisfaction? let's just put it this way, everybody. If there was a test, forget about DNA tests, forget about who's the father of your child. If there was a bicycle that was missing and we could just take a little test to figure out whose bicycle it was so that you could get it back, would anybody go, please, I'll not take that test. That's my Schwinn, but I'll not be taking that test. If you knew that was your Schwinn, you'd submit for the test immediately.
Yes, Larry King directly asked him several times, and his response was always the same, which was that, well, because of the timing, it's my kid.
Right.
It seemed a little dodgy.
Yeah, he got on her 15 minutes after the other guy tightened his belt up and left the condo.
Well, another unfortunate celebrity death. The crocodile hunter, the much-beloved crocodile hunter, his widow, spoke publicly for the first time since the croc hunter was killed by a stingray. She spoke to Barbara Walters, and she said that Steve Irwin was afraid of one animal and one animal only, a parrot.
No matter what parrot it was, they would always attack him. They pierced his nose, pierced his ears. Bindi's often saved Daddy from parrots.
So not snakes.
Oh,
not,
no.
Not crocodiles.
He's a cute little crocky. Oh, oh,
oh. No.
Parrots.
That's what he had the greatest trouble with.
Wow, she really does know how to conduct a hard-hitting interview. So, not snakes. No, Barbara, parrots. So, not crocodiles. I said parrots, bitch. You got wax in your ears? And what about dinosaurs like Yergi uses in it? Not those? No. How about Molotov cocktails? Or improvised exploding device? No. No,
just parrots.
Birds are the meanest of all creatures.
They are scary.
Here's how you know birds are mean. They're dogs that are mean. They're cats that are mean. They're many animals that are mean. But they're not mean to their own owners. Go to someone's house who has a bird. They've had the same cockatiel for 10 years. When that person puts their hand in the cage to get their bird of 10 years, the bird attempts to bite their hand.
It's true.
That's how it works. You find me another pet that actually tries to bite the owner, just the owner, not the mailman, not the kid who jumped over the fence, the actual owner. That's a mean pet.
Well, there have been many discussions in the news lately about mixing drugs and taking drugs you shouldn't take, what with T.O. and the Anna Nicole Smith story. A 55-year-old man in Tennessee was letting a homeless man stay at his apartment. He was hanging out with his homeless buddy, and he got drunk on Listerine. He then stabbed his
homeless guy did?
No. The gentleman who was allowing the homeless guy to stay with him got drunk on Listerine. Drunk. And then he stabbed the homeless guy who was just looking for a place to stay with a kitchen knife. When the cops showed up to arrest him for stabbing the homeless man, he attempted to drink even more Listerine. He's now being held on charges of aggravated assault. I guess
wow.
Listerine can give you a pretty mean drunk.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah. Minty fresh urine. I'm really getting tired of people not being able to hold their whatever. Whatever you do, oh, it was a mixture of this and a mixture of that, and all, whether you're a celebrity or a guy who's just bringing a homeless guy into your Tennessee apartment.
Or a staff member of the Adam Carolla Morning Show.
That's right, Angie.
Yes.
The point is, oh, you
she
mean Lindsay.
Like champagne.
Right, passed out. All
Wait,
of them.
Any
Lindsay?
Female associated yes. with the show.
Hold on. I think I can hold my own. You have to make an exception for that.
Point is you can get as blottoed as you like. It's still up to you to maintain, dude.
Maintain.
Thank you. The more you know.
Okay. Lastly, Forbes magazine has just come out with a list of the top 10 most trustworthy celebrities. Now, I thought this was interesting. In the top 9, four of them are African Americans.
See?
Things
we love the blacks.
See?
I have David Guest at the top of mine, Liza Minnelli's ex-husband.
He didn't even crack the top 100.
Wow.
Number 9, Morgan Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
I'll skip right up to number 6, Denzel Washington, who we thought we might get in our Outbook August competition. But it's looking,
still time tomorrow.
Still time.
I'm still working on it.
He's the 6th most trustworthy celebrity. Number 5, James Earl Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Number 4, not surprising, Oprah Winfrey.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3, Michael J. Fox. Number 2 is where things started to go weird. Rachel Ray.
Yeah.
The cooking show girl.
Let me say this about Rachel Ray. I have officially had an ass full of Rachel Ray, and I like Rachel Ray. I don't understand the Rachel Ray mania that's been going on over the last month and a half in this country. She is a very nice, bubbly person with a big ass and straight teeth. She is sweet and she can cook. But let me explain something, and I feel like people need a little booster shot on this. So what? Cooking, everybody. It is cooking. It's what guys are too busy to do because we're doing other important things instead of cooking. Yes, you can make a nice gazpacho in 20 minutes. Who gives a flying F? It's as if she cured something or she's a scientist of some, or she's working on AIDS. She is cooking. She's doing the thing that everyone's mother has been doing for the last 5 million years and which every bachelor does for himself on a nightly goddamn basis. I guarantee Kimmel, by the way, is a better cook than she is. This is not celebrity because you can cook. Yes, she has a good personality and she's bubbly, but not particularly funny and not particularly interesting. She cooks, everybody. Should we give a flying F about this?
Well, here's what happened.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Jesus Christ, enough with Rachel Ray already. She's friends with Oprah. Who cares?
That's what happened. She cooked on Oprah's show.
Oh.
And now she has her own show. And I don't know if you've been behind a bus that has the promo picture of her on the motorcycle.
She's on her Vespa.
It makes me angry.
She interviewed me for her show. We ate at a restaurant that I co-own, Amalfi. She's delight. She's fun. She's bubbly. But look, she cooks and she's nice.
That's all it takes.
How many women can you say cook and are nice? How many millions are there? When does that make you a celebrity? You're friendly and you cook. Well, there you go, everyone. You need to write your 15th book.
I'm very jealous. Well, just so you know, the number one most trustworthy celebrity, according to Forbes magazine, in the world, Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm. So if he was selling something, you would buy it.
Exactly.
You would believe it.
Yes.
All right.
People trust him in America. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Well, let's talk pennant race quickly. Dodgers won last night. Padres lost last night. Phillies won last night. What's it all mean? Dodgers trail the Padres in the NL West race by a game. Dodgers lead the Phillies by a game in the wild card race. Just a handful of games left to go, and the Dodgers are going to have to win some of them up in San Francisco. Fortunately, they will not be playing those games with tears in their eyes because they have to say goodbye to Barry the Creep Bonds. No, he's decided that he is going to come back for 2007 season. The question is there anybody out there that's going to sign this guy?
Mm-hmm.
Because do you want this guy on your team to hit the big home run? People are likely to boo. San Francisco Giants fans are about the only people in America who will cheer this event, so it's interesting to see what will happen with that. All right, NFL. T.O., you might have heard a thing or two in the news that he allegedly tried to kill himself yesterday. It was a weird day yesterday.
I've heard virtually nothing on this T.O. character or this Rachel Ray person over the last couple of weeks. I've not seen them. I don't know who they are. I don't believe I know who they are. Have I ever seen either one of them?
I wish I could see more of both.
I do, too. Well, tell us about T.O.
This T.O., he seems like a little bit of a weirdo. He's a wide receiver on the Dallas Cowboys.
Football
a couple
player.
Of weeks ago, yes, he broke his finger playing football, and he had surgery on it, so they gave him some painkillers. Yesterday started with him having to go to the hospital, and there were allegations that he tried to kill himself. Now, great mystery ensued about what happened here. We're going to hear from him. His head coach, Bill Parcells, always a ray of sunshine, held a press conference about it.
How many times can I answer the question? When I find out what the hell is going on, you will know. Until then, I'm not getting interrogated for no reason.
So nobody knew anything. However, his teammates, like Brady James here, rallied to support number 81.
You got to understand, 81 loves him too much to even think about something like that. So, you know, let's be realistic now.
In other words, 81, our teammate, is an arrogant jerk, and he would never do harm
to
himself.
Can I make this new rule for folks who have press conferences and then have no comment about the thing they had the press conference about? Perhaps we should just skip the press conference. Yes. New rule. If you have nothing to say and all I see is press conferences with blowhard coaches or politicians or wives of celebrities who are newly divorced, and they're saying, I can't talk about that. I can't talk about that. I will not dignify that with a comment. How about you shut the F up and never have the press conference? Let me explain what a press conference is. You stand up, people raise their hands, they ask questions, you provide answers. If you have no answers or you're unwilling to give them, perhaps we should skip the press conference until you get some answers.
Here's a press conference. I don't know anything, and everyone gets angry at me. Why are you angry at me that I don't know anything? How about this? The people won't be angry at you if you just don't show up.
Thank you.
Nice thought, Carolla. Now, the man of the hour, T.O. himself, had heard more than enough about this, that he had tried to kill himself nonsense, he says. So he held a press conference of his own, and here's what he said. Listen to the tone in his voice, though. He's just been accused of trying to kill himself.
No, I'm not depressed by any means. I'm very happy to be here.
You just tried to kill... If people are saying you just tried to kill yourself, would this not bring outrage from you? I would threaten to sue anybody who said that if that were untrue. It is the same thing as the OJ thing that, you know, like, well, I didn't try. I don't know anything about anybody trying to kill my... I didn't kill my wife. You would be livid if anybody said this. Then again, he's a lunatic who apparently takes counsel from Deion Sanders, who's hanging out at his house for some unknown reason yesterday, comes out to address the media. This guy is a very, very odd creature, I think, is the bottom line. And I do predict, here's a prediction for you, my football predictions have been going so nicely lately, I bet you T.O. does not finish the season active, and it will not be because of some physical injury. I bet you that they say T.O. needs some personal
time.
He
freaks out.
You think he's going to freak out?
This is too weird. It's a great thing. What happened with him?
I smell a hostage situation and a standoff somewhere in his future.
We can only hope. That'll be a lot of fun to talk about.
Human shield.
Quickly, Seattle running
Hopefully
back.
Rachel Ray.
Sean Alexander has a broken foot. But he says he can still play. Head coach of the Seahawks, Mike Holmgren, says he's not going to play him this week. But he says the quick healing, Sean Alexander says, it's because of the power of prayer. Jesus. So Jesus healed him. Sorry to anybody who's had suffered any tragedies this week. Jesus has been busy fixing Sean Alexander's microfracture. There's good reason for it, though. Jesus has a lot of money riding on the Seahawks this weekend. He needs Sean Alexander in the deity pool against Muhammad.
I hear he took the over.
Is that what it was?
Yes.
Is Jesus beating Adam's dog Molly in the football picks?
Buddha is.
I assume that my dog is now beating me.
If you make a pick, you're going to beat Carolla.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
All right. Perez Hilton, Gossip Queen, after this on the Adam Carolla Show.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew. On the Adam Carolla Show, Dateline, Los Angeles, California. A man was sentenced to 3 years probation after pleading no contest to illegally possessing an alligator and dumping it into an urban lake. He was charged with unlawful possession of restricted animals, causing a public nuisance, and marijuana possession. Definitely not a Jew.
I want to thank the good folks from Alcoa for sponsoring that segment. Very bold of them. A lot of people wouldn't step up at
Especially
Alcoa.
Especially during the high holy days.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Well, Perez Hilton, Gossip Queen Perez Hilton, who was supposed to be here 40 minutes ago, is not here yet. He's doing that thing where he calls and he says he's on Wilshire and Crescent or whatever it is. He does the same thing everyone does. And then you do that thing where you go, Wilshire and Crescent Heights, geez, it's going to take him at least 10 minutes to get here from there. And then I chime in and say, if he said he was on Wilshire and Crescent Heights, he's in his driveway. That's how it works. I do that too.
Everybody does that.
Everyone does that lie. Oh man, I'm just getting off the freeway. But ultimately, if somebody says, why aren't you at the airport? And you say, oh, I'm just getting off the freeway off ramp. And the freeway's a half a block from the airport. And it then takes you a half hour to get from the off ramp, which you said you were getting off of, to the airport. Don't people do that math eventually?
Yeah, I thought I was so smart. I didn't think everybody else did that one. Dang.
Well, it would be smart if you could somehow compress time and get there, but it never works. So anyway, Perez is a flake. Screw Perez. And Perez, if you're listening to me, please turn your pink Miata around and go home. Or whatever it is you drive. Well, kiss my ass.
She
was supposed to be here at 9 o'clock and the goddamn flight couldn't even make it in. I mean, it's not like he made it in 2 minutes ago and he was 35 minutes late. He is not here and was probably be more like an hour. And here's the deal. We're doing a radio show, you effing flake. You understand? We book guests. They're people who wake up. They have alarm clocks. They get you onto this program and then you do it and we plan around it. So when you're late, it's not just you that is late. You're obviously affecting everybody. Now, if you want to call us and say you're going to be late or give us a heads up and say you can't come in, then that's fine. But you screw with people, and I've had an assful of it, quite frankly. Perez is perennially late. So is half the people that come on this show. And the excuse is it's the morning.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, the morning, everybody. You have an alarm clock. You set it. You get out of your filthy bed, and you drag your ass into the studio. Or you say the night before you can't do it. But the option of not doing it and not telling anybody, I've had an ass full of that.
They agreed to it. And ironically, two of the people who have had a tardy problem, Tara Reid and Perez Hilton, hate each other and have come to fisticuffs.
Yes, yes, they have. So, because Perez is not here, and it's unclear whether he's ever going to be
here,
quite
honestly. Will you forgive him if he shows up in the next 5 minutes?
No.
Look, Pink Miata.
If he was a little better,
I
would.
I see him.
Oh,
he's here.
He is. All right, get in here. I love you.
By the way, he doesn't have a lot of hustle to him. You see how he's meandering.
Wow. Perez Hilton.
Dressed like a train conductor.
Dave was just talking smack about you, but I was saying, no, he's my man, and we're going with him.
42 minutes late.
What happened,
Perez? Why so late?
Well, I'll keep it real with you, Adam. I have to make the website a priority.
Oh.
And now it's peak time for me. It's peak time for you.
Well, so you had also last time you didn't even show up, in fairness.
No, but you could have always just called. We could always. Am I even on? Can I hear?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I can hear myself.
Perez, are you getting too big for your britches? Because I feel like when we met you 6 months ago, nobody knew your name. Now you're all over these entertainment shows.
Yeah.
You're on every radio and TV outlet.
You're checking
I feel
your
like
pink
this
sidekick.
Pressure, like I have to make sure that I keep the website up because that's what created all the opportunity for me, like being on your wonderful show.
All right, all's right, forgiven. Now, quickly talk some horrible gossip about some Hollywood
guys. You better start outing some people fast.
Really? Horrible news. We'll start with horrible. You want horrible?
Yes,
right? Okay.
Horrible.
Well, I'm still obsessed with the whole Anna Nicole Smith thing. Have you talked about that yet?
Yes, we've done this.
All right, you've done that one.
What about Avril Lavigne? You hate her? Why?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's not horrible. You know what's horrible? Okay. Girls getting fat. That's horrible.
Is Avril getting fat?
Not Avril.
Avril?
Avril.
Avril?
Well, we can talk about Avril, too. She's just...
Who's getting fat?
Well, I'm not saying it, but some of the media are reporting that Jessica Simpson's putting on some weight because she's depressed. Mm. And she was just in London to see her sister Ashley perform in the musical Chicago on the West End. And she was at a party, and she wasn't having the best time. And a reporter went up to her dad, and he's like, we just need to be very careful with Jessica because she's depressed. And it's like walking on eggshells. I can't believe the dad said that. Papa Joe, you're fired.
Papa
Even
weirdo.
If she is, you know, you don't want to tell the media that your daughter's like walking on eggshells.
Stay away from the Lexapro methadone combo.
Yeah, not good.
All right, tease one, and we'll take a break, and we'll finish it off when we come back.
Oh, tease.
Tease. It's radio talk.
Yeah.
I know you thought I was talking about hair.
Let's see. Well, we can talk about... Yeah, we'll talk about Avril. We'll get into it.
I gotta say, I like her.
Do you?
Well, she's got attitude. But I'd like to wipe that little smile off her face. And well, I think most guys would agree with me.
Anybody who gets wasted has attitude, Adam.
Perez has called her an obnoxious, spoiled brat on PerezHilton.com.
Well, we'll hear more about Avril Lavigne. I can't say that those words together. We'll hear more about her recently married also as well. I hear Avril, right?
Maybe soon to be divorced.
Ooh.
I'm just talking smack now.
Yeah. That bomb will be dropped with Perez Hilton after this.
This is Rainn Wilson. I play Dwight Schrute on NBC's The Office.
and you are listening to The Adam Carolla Show.
Well, just about 45 seconds left for you to talk crap about Avril Lavigne, Perez Hilton, queen of the gossip scene.
Oh, she was just, you know, spitting at people and saying the F-bomb, but Clay Aiken was on Larry King Live last night. And here's something I haven't even written about on my website yet. Oh. I hear that Clay actually wants to come out. Mm-hmm. It's no big secret he's a big homo, according to me, allegedly.
Right.
But I hear that his record label is not letting him and is telling him not to do it.
Man, keeping him in the closet.
That's
sad. It's sad, like that he, but he's listening to them because he still has the choice to act on it or not. He can still say, yes, I like to get it up the butt, but he hasn't.
There's no doubt in your mind that Clay Aiken is gay then.
But he claims to be a top.
All right. Well, hopefully you two can find love. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Very quickly, Brian, I know you're trying to figure out something over there. If I could have the music. So what have we learned?
Well, I'll come on tomorrow, right, Adam?
Maybe. We've learned that I have a dog leg in my penis. We've learned that Johnny Knoxville's easy on the eyes but tough on the junk, hence the mousetrap. And we've learned that Larry King is a product of an unholy union between the Grim Reaper and a buzzard.
Good.
9 months later, there was Larry King. All right, Perez Hilton, thank you very much. Sort of. I wish we had more time, but you're late. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.